much about.
You gotta put it in
everybody to Happy Island, and here is Ed Wynn as his hilarious majesty, King Bubbles.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hey, Chucklehead. Gaining keywords. So I always stay clear of women who have the term Kevin and Bean in their profile. I mean, that show's pretty terrible, right? Am I right? Yeah, I'm right.
The show hasn't been good for years.
But if you felt this way, why, for God's sake, didn't you say something?
I thought you knew and didn't care.
I'm a doctor, and this man is farting in my face.
And now.
Do you remember
when it third. Our feature presentation.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show. This time it is for a Monday, and it is the 23rd of September. Hey, kids.
Hi.
Hey.
Can we please, first order of business, get Christine to come in here and Instagram video of Beer Mug trying to put his headphones on?
It is one of the sadder things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It hurt my heart to look over at Muggs trying to put headphones on with his right arm in a sling.
In a sling, right.
Yeah.
It's like it's like watching a puppy with one of his front legs missing trying to dig.
Yeah. Muggs.
Yeah.
Why? What happened?
What happened?
Look, I am a super dad, okay?
Okay.
I put my body, limb, life on the line for my kid. I was walking up the stairs in my house, mm-hmm. like I do, holding my kid as she loves me to do when I'm walking up the stairs, and I lost my footing.
Okay.
And immediately felt myself going down.
Do you think that really happened, or do you not think that really happened?
Oh, it really happened.
So
myself.
You thought you were going to fall onto her?
I thought I was going to just crush her.
Oh,
so
man.
Last minute, all my athletic skills came into play.
Okay.
Turned over. Landed on
you
my
threw
shoulder.
It first.
Landed on my shoulder, hit the edge of the stair. She was crying. She didn't feel anything, but
she
I saved
scared.
Her. Yeah, she was scared, rightfully so. And I was like, okay, good. I saved her. Good. I get up, and then I feel this like automatic sharp pain like shooting in my neck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, that's not good.
Uh-uh.
And then I try to pick her up again to like console her.
Yeah.
And I couldn't lift my right arm. I was like, oh, that's not good.
Oh, no.
And, you know, like we are often to do as men, not worry about it and not go to the doctor. I was like, mm-hmm. no, something's
it's
wrong.
It's that bad.
Man, it's weird to hear someone on the show say they may have broken something yeah. and go to the hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pussy.
So I went to Kaiser Permanente in Woodland Hills.
I'm sorry, you went to where?
Kaiser Permanente.
Kaiser right, Permanente. And they got me into the ER. The doctor came in, was doing, you know, a bunch of field tests, ding.
Yeah.
And got me into the x-ray room. And in about 2 hours, he came back. He said, yeah, you have a broken collarbone.
Dude.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So you're not available for the playoffs at all.
Well, no, I'll be back by the playoffs. You know, we're in the regular season. I'll be on the IR for 6 to 8 weeks.
I don't want to point it out, but what drugs are you on right now?
I took an ibuprofen this morning.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, I don't want to take the strong stuff
okay.
in the morning.
Because you have those available to you.
Yes, I have, I have the strong stuff, but I took the ibuprofen this morning. And I'm keeping the strong stuff for at night.
Hey, is Christine Instagram living right
yes.
now?
Yes.
Okay, let's have Muggs take his headphones off.
Great.
See, and then put his headphones
okay.
back.
Off Kevin is not a problem.
Okay.
Off is fine.
Not a problem.
Okay. Okay, now putting them on.
One-handed.
Oh, tries to.
So sad.
That was so much better.
I think because I got that practice run the first time. The first one was really sad.
The practice one just, like a tear just went down his face so slowly.
In the arms of an angel.
Now, Muggs, let me ask you this.
Yes,
and we're
sir.
All thinking it, so I just might as well ask.
Go ahead.
When you realized it was your right hand.
Well, it's funny. We were discussing that earlier, Bean, and I didn't want to, you know, blow the surprise for you. But when it comes to that, I'm actually left-handed.
Okay.
What? Yeah. All right. That's the only department I'm ambidextrous in. I don't know why.
That's crazy.
Well, and it's not really a department.
I mean, I don't know. It's crazy. I don't know why, but that's how it was.
God, I will pay you to teach me that skill.
Your whole life?
Ever since I discovered what that was.
Wow. That's amazing because I have the body of a bodybuilder on my right arm and just a wet noodle on my left arm.
Yeah.
So
dear.
You can get me the right direction if you could put a tutorial up online or something or just anything.
Yeah, I'll have to put a left-hand 101 guide out.
All right. DIY, yeah. It'll be great.
So Muggs is playing Hurt here this morning.
Yeah. I almost feel bad that we have this drop, but I have to play it.
Play it.
Ever since I can remember, I was popping my collar. Bone. Popping my collar.
Bone. Sad.
Nice. Oh. That was perfect.
That's just sad.
That was perfect. That is. By the way, this is my first ever broken bone in my whole life.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
So,
well, you've been very lucky. Even get a cool cast that
no,
we could all sign.
It's a stupid sling.
Yeah. Damn sling.
Well, you're very lucky that you've never broken a bone before at your age.
Yeah.
How about you, Allie?
No, nothing.
What?
We've had this conversation because I used to literally launch myself downstairs on roller skates.
Sure.
I would be like roller skating around the park and then I'd be like, there's some stairs. And I would try to break my arm because I thought having a cast was so cool.
Is this like when you wanted braces even though you didn't need them?
Yeah, I would put tinfoil on my teeth. Uh-huh, right. I would sit real close to the TV so I could wear glasses. My parents were like, you were the cheapest kid ever. And we thank you for that. But yeah, didn't have any of that stuff. Hmm.
Jensen, how about you?
Broke my hands.
Ew. How'd you do that?
Well, skiing.
Visiting the department?
Yeah. I'm ambidextrous, as you know. No, I skiing on one of them. And then the other one, while the other one was broken, I was using my left hand, my less prominent, and I reached for a glass and missed it, and then reached with the other hand, smashed the glass against the table. It was a bartender injury, and then cut open a nerve, and then that broke the finger.
Okay, you were a bartender?
No, but it's like a bartending injury is what I'm saying. I reached with the wrong hand.
Oh, I hear some false valor going on right now.
Everyone's always fighting to be a bartender.
I picture Jensen as Tom Cruise in Cocktail,
right? Yeah.
Spinning
totally.
In the bottles.
Who wants a margarita?
Well, I haven't broken a bone in like a week, so
yeah,
I feel
you're
like
doing
I'm
good. You're on a roll.
Doing really well.
Does it make you want to go see a doctor now that you've heard Muggs actually get help and probably start feeling better?
No, because I'm five times the man Muggs is.
Wow.
Hey, I just want to, just as a P.S., because you went to Los Strayers this weekend, Jensen?
I did, yes. The losing game, but yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no.
The team, their home season has ended. They're on the road for this final week. They announced an all-time Los Angeles attendance record for this season. Hmm. 25,000 short of 4 million people at Dodger Stadium. Over 49,000 fans per game over the 81 home games. So congratulations to the Dodgers.
I like to think Danielle and I put them over. We were the two.
I mean, you didn't, but you could, sure.
Congrats to us.
Sure, think that
well
way.
Well done, Jensen.
Thank you.
Danielle.
All right, let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I know it's gross, but when you, like, these are facts.
They are facts. That's true, ma'am. First of all, Christine, speaking of Instagram Living right now, was in the middle of a melee this Saturday night. A melee, I tell you.
A melee?
Yes.
And it's the second in Los Angeles. There was one recently as well at the Topanga Plaza, my favorite mall, NGA Topanga, as you know.
Another melee?
Yeah, this is
what the hell is going on? She was right there. Our Kevin and Bean microphones were there on the spot. Also,
I'm screaming.
Some Area 51 coverage. I know you think you know what did or did not go down as we attempted to see them aliens over the weekend. Mm-hmm. By the way, I did fly out after the show. I just want you guys to know.
You caught a tail end.
No,
and I caught an alien, but they wanted me to pay for a whole seat on the way back. And I'm like, I'm too cheap for that, so I just let the little guy go, and he's running in the desert somewhere. There's something that went on this weekend that you don't know about that I think you'll be excited about. Monday means great news on the program today. Also, we'll have a lot to say about the Emmys. I know, Allie, you'll cover some of the winners coming up and what's happening. Plus, our friend Matt Bellany from The Hollywood Reporter is going to be joining us to break down the show and the party on this morning's program. Jensen confessed to us over, I guess, on Friday's show that he ordered the Jerry Springer Uncensored DVD at one point.
Yeah.
Just because I don't have a question, but what do you think of these? We're going to have a discussion about the length that you went to, young men, to see boobs as a young person. Also, Jennifer and Cody from Swing and Misses are going to be in to recap NFL weekend number 3, which I'm pretending didn't happen.
Uh-oh.
And we lied about it on Friday. I don't think we're lying today. I think the great Patrick Warburton will be gracing us with his presence coming up later on this morning. He and Allie have a live event on stage this weekend that you can go see.
It's true.
So all of that, plus what Allie...
Bean.
No one knows. That's why you're here with What's Happening on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Monday.
Wow. See what you did there?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if applause are necessary.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Any of you watch the Emmys, the 71st annual Emmy Awards last night?
I did.
I am practicing self-care, so I just watched highlights. Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't care about it, but I knew I had to.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it more than I thought I would.
Oh, okay.
I know we're going to get into it later, but boy, did I... I did see the Adam Devine dance sketch.
Was your face like James Corden when they showed him the audience watching?
I just can't believe that was a thing.
Yeah. Between that and the Ken Jeong doing a TikTok, I was like, you know what? You don't need these.
There were some missteps. I mean, you don't have to fill the whole 3 hours.
No. It doesn't have to be 3 hours.
End early and show a Family Guy. We're fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, would have been fine. But it was interesting if you were watching. The first 30 minutes, you were thinking, wow, only shows on Amazon Prime are winning, which is very interesting. But the first half hour, supporting actor in a comedy series went to Tony Shalhoub for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Supporting actress in a comedy series went to Alex Borstein for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. And then writing for a comedy series went to Phoebe Waller-Bridge for Fleabag. Also on Amazon Prime. So
is that where most of America said, I don't know any of these shows. I'm just going to tune over and watch the football game.
Most likely. Yeah. We'll find out later with the ratings. But also not having a host was interesting, again, to see it. But it did feel like it moved quicker until they did try those little bits that weren't very funny. Mm-hmm. Some other winners: lead actor in a limited series, Jarrell Jerome for When They See Us.
That was a great moment. That was one of the things that I was happy I was watching, because the room was so excited for that young man.
Yeah.
He's only 21 years old, by the way.
I mean, that show is heartbreaking and amazing and unbelievable.
Makes you angry.
Oh, makes you livid, but it's such a must-see. Lead actor in a limited series, Michelle Williams for Fosse Verdon. Limited series went to Chernobyl. Variety sketch series, Saturday Night Live. Talk show series, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. For kind of the big ones, lead actor in a drama series, Billy Porter for Pose. I don't think anybody saw that coming.
Nope.
And he made history because
he wore that hat. First person ever win to wear that hat.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. I did feel bad for the people behind him.
What kind of punctuation was that hat trying to be?
I didn't know. It was as if it melted on one side. It was a normal hat, and then it melted. And then just one side was crazy.
It was a hat, for sure.
It was a hat.
But he made history by being the first openly out African-American gay man to win, and even to be nominated, I believe, as well. So he won that for Pose. Lead actress in a drama series, shocked her to get up there, was Jodie Comer from Killing Eve, who had by far the cutest part of a speech where she said, and to my parents in Liverpool that I told not to come because it's just not my time yet. I'm so sorry. But the look of absolute shock on her face going up there, then as she's talking and then trying to figure out how to leave the stage, I'm like, this poor woman needs to sit down.
Yeah.
I'm very concerned for Jodie Comer.
A lot of shock last night, too. Yes. Jason Bateman as well for his Ozark win.
He's already a Jeff.
Yeah.
Yeah, for directing in a drama series.
Yeah.
Comedy series went to Fleabag.
Mm-hmm.
Drama series went to Game of Thrones.
Boo.
Which I felt like was just a...
It's a career
here you
award,
go.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
A, which here you go. Go away.
Be. Yeah.
Beat it,
It's
Game
like
of
when
Thrones
Al Pacino won for Scent of a Woman. You're like, that's not... It can't be for Scent of a Woman. That's for everything else.
Hoo-ah.
No? Did I hope America?
Was that the movie? Yeah, you got it.
That was it.
Yeah. It's every movie since then, also, but okay, it started there. Yeah. Cool.
I hope America, Allie, fell in love with Phoebe Waller-Bridge last night, as you and I did back when Fleabag came out, and now they'll watch the show.
Yeah, it's so good. It's ridiculous.
She's amazing. Well, charming was she last night?
She's charming. Plus, she's behind Killing Eve. Like the woman just knows good television. She just does. Yeah, it was very funny. When she won her first award, she got up there and said, listen, writing is so hard, but this is why I do it, and held up the Emmy. And then when she won another for the show, she was like, acting is so hard, but this is why I do it. It was just very, very funny.
And she's dating her dad, I take it?
That is her boyfriend. He's just gray hair. Just gray hair. You gotta let that go. Just has gray hair.
He's just really old.
I don't think he is. He just really? Has
will gray she hair. Upgrade now that she's a multiple
Emmy winner? He's Martin McDonagh. He's the director behind the Three Billboards. And a Broadway. You know, he's written
Bradley
Broadway
Cooper
plays.
Single. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she likes
older men.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah.
What were you going to say?
Yeah, older men.
Oh, I see. I got it. Okay.
Some birthdays for you. Jason Alexander, Bruce Springsteen, Anthony Mackie, Jermaine Dupri, and Hasan Minhaj. And
it's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. We're just after 6 a.m. You picked quite a day to tune in, I'll tell you that much. We are giving away some amazing prizes. We're giving away tickets to the Hella Mega Tour. It's Green Day, Weezer, Fall Out Boy. We're giving away tickets to the Joker screening. That's the movie with Todd Phillips and Joaquin Phoenix. And then we're giving away, as if that's not enough, WWE SmackDown anniversary tickets. My God, keep listening for your chance to win.
By the way, in honor of Storm Them Aliens, Storm Area 51, See Them Aliens, in honor of that, Foo Fighters released a surprise live EP recorded in Roswell, New Mexico over the weekend.
Wow.
So they're getting in on it.
Okay.
And by the way, that Storm Area 51 thing, it looks like was so popular with businesses that it's going to be an annual event.
Are you being serious?
I'm being serious.
But I thought it was like a failure.
It was a fit. Well, we'll talk about it coming up in just a few minutes here on K-Rock. First, though, Assistant Producer Christine, how are you, my dear?
Hey, I'm good. How are
you lucky to be alive today?
I mean, narrowly survived the melee at my local mall.
Well, let's see what the news called it.
Mayhem at the mall today.
There you go. Mayhem at the mall.
Ooh, that's dark.
Even though no one got hurt and nothing was really happening, the news was so happy they could call it Mayhem at the mall.
Mayhem at the mall today in Culver City. A fight at a Foot Locker created chaos at the Westfield Culver City Mall.
While no shots were fired, some shoppers were worried that it was an active shooter situation because of all of those loud sounds. CBS News' Lori Perez live at the mall with a closer look at that video. Lori, it is scary.
It absolutely is, you know.
All right, so Christine, where are you at the Westfield Culver City Mall in relation to the Foot Locker where this all went down?
They said the fight was at the Foot Locker, so what shoes were you trying to get?
And also, like, who's making you that mad? I mean, what's going on?
I know, seriously, guys. I had to throw down, you know? Mm-hmm. My cousin and I were coming out of the Target. There's one of the Targets inside the malls.
Uh-huh.
And while we were walking out, we noticed that there were several kind of large men who were... looked like they were going like a football game, right? But you notice all of a sudden that there was like a commotion and they all had walkie-talkies. And so we're like, is that store security? Like the undercover guys, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they were looking outside and people outside are all looking down the one direction at the mall.
Direction was at the mall?
No, it was crazy.
Of course there's a riot.
Now it makes sense. And so she was like, hold on a second, because the thing is we were driving to the mall and I said to my cousin, are you excited? She goes, no, I haven't been in the mall in years. I'm like, why? She said, I don't like to go to those kinds of places with lots of people there because it's the kind of place where there are mass shootings that happen.
Oh,
and
my
she
God.
Looks at me and she goes, dude? And I'm like, no, come on. There's nothing happened. It's fine. I'm sure there was like a shoplifter or something like that. And we walk outside and you see two stores across from us frantically pulling down their grates, like those gates.
Oh, no. Whoa, that's scary.
And there are still people inside the stores, though. She goes, is the mall closing? And it was like 6:10. Mm-hmm. But you know, those malls close pretty much on time. Yeah. So it was like an odd time to close the mall.
Yeah.
So she goes, let's just go. And so we go down the escalator, which was at the end, so you have kind of a big view of the mall. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there are people running for their lives and screaming.
Awful.
So terrifying.
Then, yeah. So then at the one end, there is a like an open-air barbershop at this mm-hmm. mall. And so everyone got up from the chairs, and they were all looking. But we're on the other side of the mall. So I asked one of the girls, I said, what's going on? She goes, there's something. They think they're saying there's a shooter. And we're like, okay. So...
All right, now, Christine, slow down for a second here. What's going on in your head? Obviously, you have to, you're just receiving this information. You're trying to process it in real time. Are you terrified?
I am not terrified because you didn't hear any gunshots and it didn't.
Right, but if somebody says to me, I think there's a shooter, that's enough to get me real, real worried.
I was worried, but not yet because it just didn't feel like. I don't know. It doesn't feel like that's a real life scenario.
You're right.
You know?
It can't happen here, girl.
Yeah.
That's what you
totally,
are.
Totally. Totally. And so my cousin's like, hey, just stay calm. We'll go to the car. And our car was through, you know, how the Forever 21 there has an exit to the street.
Oh, yeah. We all know that. Yeah.
So, sorry. This story, it was a very weird moment. So my brain is kind of trying to figure out what happened. So we go through the store because there's an exit to the street. And as we're walking through the store, they lock the doors to the outside.
Oh, boy.
And so at that moment, I thought, oh, okay.
Yeah, that's not fun.
That was the moment I got a little scared.
Yeah. All so of a sudden, you're in the Breakfast Club.
Right. So we walk back toward
the
mall.
Movie, not the radio show, you guys.
It's her and Charlamagne.
Me and Charlamagne the God. So we walk back out to the mall, and they lock those doors.
Oh, my God.
So there's all these girls, people on their phone, who I guess had been downstairs longer, so had more information than we did. So we're like, what is happening? They said, they're saying there's a shooting. And you know, people are like trying to find their kids that were at the it was terrible.
All right, let me stop again and ask this question. Is the purpose of locking down the mall to make sure the shooter stays inside?
Yeah,
so that you can catch him?
It's the closed school door. It's like everybody get in here, close the door. It's like they're hiding from the shooter.
Right, but aren't they also closing the doors that would allow shoppers at the mall to leave?
Yeah.
To get outside.
They know what's happening. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing is, I heard afterwards that not everyone did that. Like the mall, apparently, the reports are saying that there was never a shutdown or lockdown.
Yeah, no lockdown, yet a lot of people, it sounds like, were stuck in stores.
Yeah. And that seemed like a safety thing, I guess. I don't know. I've never
been in
this
situation. I'd be more scared of being stuck in a Claire's boutique. That sounds like the real issue.
So this store has like very big glass windows out into the street, and all of a sudden we see the police coming. And then you see the cops get out with the big guns, not like the pistols, you know?
And they head right for Wicks and Things.
Is that still around?
Like, I don't even know what that is.
It's an old candle store.
It's so 80s.
I don't even know that.
I think my aunt worked there.
We have a shooter at Spencer's Gifts. Everybody get in.
What's the place that used to be in every single mall where you took stuff to get engraved?
Oh, Things Remembered.
Things Remembered.
And then you'd wait and you'd get an orange Julius while they were engraved.
This shows how long Bean has stayed in his house. He goes, was everyone at Miller's Outpost safe?
So, I saw the news, Christine. They mentioned the Foot Locker fight, that there are two guys who are really like barroom brawling inside, and you can see it through the window. But then there's some other guys who appear to be affiliated with guys on the inside of the store who are banging on the giant windows at the Foot Locker to try to get in where the fight is. And that's what freaked people out, is because the glass shattered in the Foot Locker. Oh. Those guys ran in, didn't stay for very long.
No.
But that's what people heard, and that's why people thought there was a shot, I think, right?
Yeah, so it's so interesting to think about this, the game of telephone. And how, because I was at the other side of the mall from where that happened, right? So what we heard and what was passed along from everyone else, the story was, it's completely different than what happened.
We live in an era now where if you see a bunch of people running, there's a shooter.
Right.
I think that's just, it happened in Times Square recently. It happened at Topanga Plaza in the Woodlands. It's like if people are running around, that's just what's going to happen now.
And I think the thing is that I don't understand, and no one has said why the door to the Foot Locker was locked. So
or why the people were outside of a fight. It's not like a UFC, everyone just like watching.
Right.
So that is weird.
So it looked like, I mean, obviously somebody in the store must have locked the door.
Right.
But the two guys are going at it. There's a big guy and little guy. And the little guy's friends are right outside the glass door trying to get in. The glass door is locked. And so they do one of those things where, you know, you like pull back and forth on the door really quickly,
trying
to open it. And I think that noise, people, even before the glass shattered, they were saying people mistook that as gunshots because it was like that back and forth banging.
Well,
noise, you know,
you and your cousin are just lucky that you were locked out at the Woolco, so you were fine.
I don't know. What
that- Our friend Matt Bellany is the executive editor for The Hollywood Reporter. He is the man to go to when you want to talk about last night's Emmy Awards on Fox. That'll be coming up next hour. Also, Monday morning means great news. So I spent some time in the desert this weekend, as you know, storming area 51.
I don't think you did.
I flew out after the show.
You didn't, though.
And tried to get in, along with, how many people RSVP'd yes to this Storm Area 51 event? It was close to 3 million, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was around, 2.5, I think.
And how many folks actually showed up to do it?
I read 500.
And then of those 500, how many actually pretended that they were going to storm the gates at Area 51?
I read two.
It was about 20. About 20. Who ran up to the gate and then just stopped. Like, made no attempt whatsoever to get over it. Mm-hmm. Which is why they were kind of laughing. I got this clip, Muggs. Why they were kind of laughing at us on the news.
Millions of folks said they had pledged to storm Area 51, but only dozens actually showed up.
I don't need the anchor in the studio going, wah, wah.
Yes, you do.
This is important to us, okay? This meant something to us.
Yeah, despite all the hype here, no one actually stormed the highly classified military base in Nevada. Dozens of people apparently stood outside the gates, though, after a meme-inspired Facebook event encouraged people to show up to see if aliens exist.
Well, they certainly do. Here's a guy that is who was there and looked at it as a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I think you'll see his excitement at storming Area 51.
Why would you ever miss this? A bunch of random people in weird costumes standing outside of a government base? Why would you want to miss that? That's a one-in-a-lifetime experience. It's like Halloween, but we're just annoying people.
Great point, sir.
Halloween once in a lifetime, as you know.
I know. There's only one Halloween.
One time.
And then there's the Naruto run. Am I saying that right?
Naruto.
There's a Naruto run because that's what's the strategy behind that? Is it just it's supposed to give you a lift or something?
Yeah, it's like
or?
A superpower kind of run.
Yeah, they can't stop you, and you can cram more people through the gate if your arms are behind you because you take up less space.
I think you're making that up.
And here's a story about a young man who's been practicing.
Yeah. Elia Elixir is the guy, a bit off the wall, who demonstrated his run for us, but really wanted to see the aliens.
Do you plan to storm it?
Well, I've been here a month ago. I came here, and I was practicing my Naruto running in front of Area 51.
Elixir says he's made the trip to Rachel, Nevada, mere miles from the infamous and top-secret military base known as Area 51 before, and he was prepared for anything.
Yeah, we filled up the car with food, water, a lot of water, and hopefully I capture some aliens.
What? Where is he from?
He's not real.
He's an alien. Pushing the blame on other people. Yeah. That's the guy they should have been catching.
That's a program that makes it sound like he speaks English. I thought maybe Canadian, but I really couldn't tell. But then his name is Elixir, so what the F?
That's the guy they should have been probing.
So here's, speaking of probing, this is why I was so excited about the event this weekend. And this thing did not get well reported, but I found this deep on the website of Channel 13 in Las Vegas. Here's something else that was going on this weekend.
Well, so many have their minds stuck on life off planet Earth this weekend.
By the way, this guy should not be on television.
Why are so many aliens on TV?
When Nevada sex worker wants to make those extraterrestrial fantasies a reality.
So, how about a special at the brothel for people who are into aliens?
Smart.
This is going to blow your mind, guys.
People didn't feel safe to have those experiences, so I quite literally put it all out there.
Meet Alice Little. She's a licensed prostitute based at the Moonlight Bunny Ranch near Carson City. An alien enthusiast herself, cashing in on alien role play.
I have guests that are looking to spend entire days, evenings, and weekends with me, really diving all the way into this abduction headspace where they want to be immersed in it completely and totally for 48 hours nonstop.
Okay, now what's
she talking into a can?
No, she's on Skype.
Okay.
What is involved in fulfilling your alien fantasies with a prostitute for 48 straight hours?
Well, I'm sure she will kidnap you.
Yes.
So there's an abduction. Oh, an abduction.
She throws you in the back of the trunk of her car and drives you around the desert.
She's got to do some tests on you.
Yeah. She's got to tie you down. Like
absolutely. She's got to make sure you know what you're doing in certain realms,
Understood.
If you know what I'm saying.
Okay.
Butt
gotcha.
Stuff.
No, I understand.
No, yeah, but talking about butt stuff.
We have when you
yeah,
said it. Yeah.
Probing. And now such.
Why is she suspecting guys like our friend Elixir there can't get women on their own? Why does she assume that they have to pay for it?
Oh, you think the guys who know how to perfectly Naruto run don't actually get laid on their
own? I think they've got game, man. All right, let's hear some more from our UFO enthusiast prostitute.
That's right. An alien abduction fantasy. She's transforming her luxury suite at the brothel to an alien theme.
I've got little lights that I have set up, so this way it's different lighting than standard. I've got some alien sound effect type music going in the background.
I mean, that is very classy.
I mean, she's got lights and sound effects.
Yeah. She's got lights and a playlist of sound effects. Mm-hmm. What are you paying for this? Let's find out.
And that's just the beginning. Alice also showed us some of what's in her arsenal for close encounters with clients. We can't show you any of it on TV.
She did have, and the part you could see on TV, it looked like she had like an ET costume that she would be willing to wear for you.
I mean, just the finger.
Exactly.
Alice says the money is already pouring in. For her alien fantasies, folks can spend anywhere between 4 and 6 figures.
Between 4
wow.
and 6 figures,
I thought they were
going
to say
guys.
4 to 600.
Yes,
nice.
We're talking thousands and thousands of dollars.
Good for her.
Alice isn't the only one seeing the wealth either.
Ladies are seeing a number of guests coming in wearing Raid Area 51 hats, t-shirts. Folks are just really excited to participate.
Austin Carter, 13 Action News.
All right, I think we need a podcast with Austin Carter and Elixir.
They should have hosted the Emmys.
I will hit subscribe. Coming up, it's great news on the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world famous K-Rock. Welcome to a Monday morning. Allie, what is happening in the world of Hollywood?
Bean, I know you you were out looking for dem aliens.
Sure.
You flew out right after the show.
Uh-huh.
So you Very didn't busy. Have a chance to see the only movie I've heard you talk about in the last year.
I would have liked to have time, but as you mentioned, I was very busy.
Right.
Maybe I'll get to it next weekend.
Okay, so you did not see Downton Abbey.
I did not.
Okay. Well, it did very well, you guys. It won the box office this weekend over Brad Pitt's movie Ad Astra and Sly Stallone's Rambo The Last Blood.
I think people were shocked at the box office for this film.
Absolutely. $31 million. That's the highest opening ever for Focus Features. Not too shabby. And then coming in at number two was that Brad Pitt movie, Ad Astra. Third, Rambo Last Blood. Pretty much a tie with those two movies, both making a little over $19 million.
Hang on, Allie. I found a clip from Downton Abbey for folks who don't know what all the fuss is about. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard in a while, but I think this will sum it up.
I'm going upstairs to take off my hat.
Okay, there you go.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, how could you not see that?
I mean, it's got all the action and drama you need at the movies.
I have another clip from the film.
Okay.
All I want to do is zoom, zoom, zoom.
Wow.
That's from it, too. Yeah.
I mean, from a hat to a zoom, zoom, zoom. I get it.
With real accents.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Coming in fourth, It Chapter 2 and rounding out the top five, Hustlers. My friend went to see the movie on Friday night at Arclight. Mm-hmm. And he said people sure were dressed up.
Yeah, well, that's a whole experience there.
Yeah. Yeah. He was a little troubled when he went to get popcorn and the man in front of him had a huge top hat. And he goes, oh, he better not be sitting in front of me. That is really going to suck. But he said everyone was dressed up.
That is interesting.
I think it would be fun to dress up like Downton Abbey, walk up and go, 2 for Rambo, please.
Allie, did you never watch the series?
No.
Not a minute of it?
Not even a second.
I think you would have really liked it.
I'm sure I would.
It's super, super good.
I watched season 1 and loved it.
Well, how come you bailed?
Too much TV.
Okay.
Which channel was it on?
BBC.
PBS.
Oh, yeah.
PBS.
That's you.
Oh.
I watched on DVD.
I don't think I get that.
You get PBS.
Everyone does.
Everyone
you
does.
Just need an antenna.
I've never heard of that. I'm not even sure what it is. But not bad, you guys. $31 million in their
Fantastic.
Opening. Shocking pretty much everyone.
If they can keep Maggie Smith alive long enough, they'll make another one.
Well, according to my friend, he said it was the perfect wrap-up. Everything he ever wanted from the movie was done. So
great.
Good stuff right there, you guys. I'm going to follow that up with some sad news. Miley Cyrus and Caitlin Carter, their romantic relationship seems to be over. A source told People over the weekend that they are still friends. They've been friends forever and were there for each other when they were both getting separated. Miley Cyrus, of course, from Liam Hemsworth, and Caitlin Carter from Brody Jenner. Mm-hmm. But they're just not in a romantic relationship anymore.
I mean, it was 2 weeks or something.
I think we can all calm our teeth.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be fine, you
but
guys.
But is there ever love for any of us at this point? When things like this fall apart in our
it's
faces.
It's hard to believe. It really is.
After 2 weeks, if they can't make it work, who can?
Yeah.
Cranky.
Well, still going strong, Lucy Boynton and Rami Malek. However, she chatted with Porter for a cover story and talked about some of the drawbacks of dating Mr. Robot and Bohemian Rhapsody star Rami Malek. And it has to do with his serious fan base. She said, it's lovely to see people who are excited about his work if they've seen Mr. Robot or Freddy, but it's just that thing of people grabbing him. I mean, you'd never grab a complete stranger in the street. And I think there's a sense of ownership. It's not okay to just come up to someone with your camera already out and disregard whoever they're with. It happened when we were with my mother and we were just shoved out of the way. It's quite shocking.
She's not wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't imagine that would be fun.
No.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, a couple times with my wife, people have like grabbed her as well.
No.
It's very odd.
Mm-mm. Yeah. No touching. Don't touch. I used to actually get that a lot when I was on the news. If we were doing an event or something and I was with all the other anchors, people would come up and immediately hug me and not hug any of the other anchors. And I get that because I was kind of the goofy one, the more relatable one. I wasn't the one saying, behind me, there's 20 people dead in a fire. Mm-hmm. Like, I did the fun stuff. So I get it, but it was also kind of like, hey, hug the anchor guy. Do that.
Newscasters.
This is fame, bro.
Newscasters have it weird, too, because you're talking directly to the camera. Isn't that always the thing?
People on the news are the most stalked people because people feel like they're waking up to the same person every morning. You develop a relationship with this person, and you know where they are every single day.
Touch me, I'm going to scream. Whoa.
I don't love that, sir.
Thank you, celebrities. Is there anything they don't know?
I mean, I don't think news people are celebrities. Really?
I mean, Fritz Coleman.
I mean, Fritz said it would be like this. Mm-hmm. Absolutely a celebrity.
He's a superstar.
Yeah. Dan Levy from Schitt's Creek has signed a
Hey, language.
That's what the TV show is called.
Well, it's a terrible last name.
Okay. He has signed a multi-year deal with ABC Studios. Under the terms of the agreement, he's going to develop and produce scripted projects for the studio. He, of course, co-created, starred, and was showrunner. Are you on the buoy again?
Yeah, are you?
Captain Bean. Oh, yardie, my baby. Good morning. Welcome back to me, Kevin and Bean.
It's always Talk Like a Pirate Day at my house.
I mean, but literally, are you on the buoy?
Yes, I'm waiting to be rescued. I'll be fine. Okay. I'll be fine. I've got food and water. I'm fine.
Okay. Well, we know you have water. I mean, you're surrounded by it.
Yeah, but it's salt water, though.
Okay. All right.
Dan Levy has quite a career trajectory.
Yeah.
He used to be the after host of The Hills Show.
Yep.
Like, oh, really?
Yeah, it was just him and some chick.
Yeah, some woman.
But he was really likable.
Yeah,
just
he was great.
Enjoyed him.
Just didn't really see him going to the Emmys.
Yeah.
And getting an overall ABC deal.
Yeah.
And Eugene is his father, right?
Yes, he is.
So he hired his own dad.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Comedy is in this guy's blood, obviously. Yeah.
But this is like if like Dan Cortez ended up becoming like a huge Oscar winner or something. No shots to Dan Cortez. He's great. But I'm saying like you just don't see it come. Like you don't see that kind of career coming for the guy running, you know, telling you what happened to LC and, you know.
Right.
It's weird. Also, are you on a raft? What is
I can't see. It seems louder today than it ever
has. I
can't
focus.
Bean's doing pirate radio on a ship.
Guys, I don't know what to tell you. The birds have a lot happening this week. I don't know what to say. They're excited by fall.
Bean in front of a microphone just swatting birds away as they're trying to nibble on his head. Get away!
He wouldn't swat.
Yeah.
He'd let him nibble, and then he'd be shocked by it. How'd that happen?
My bird just bit me.
All right, some birthdays for you. Jermaine Dupri, Anthony Mackie, Hasan Minhaj, Bruce Springsteen, and Jason Alexander.
I think I would run Beer Mug down with my car for a shot at seeing Joker early before it opens on October 4th.
That's so specific.
Wow. I was just thinking about it. How much do I want to see Joaquin Phoenix as Joker? And I understand we have tickets to give away on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, Allie.
We sure do. And maybe, just maybe, Joker fans, they're coming up this hour.
Sweet. What? Sweet. All right, so within 42 minutes.
Well, I said maybe.
Okay. maybe by the end of the hour.
Yeah.
We got your tickets for Joker ahead of it opening everywhere on October the 4th. Hey, it's Monday morning. I think you know what that means. Hit it, Steve.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news! Plenty of places for you to find bad news. Monday mornings on the Kevin and Bean Show, we bring you the opposite. Great news, I want to introduce you to a cute little dog, a terrier pit mix named Queen, and an animal advocate named Scott there in Kansas.
For more than 400 nights, Queen has been sleeping here waiting.
I just can't figure out why she's not getting adopted.
So Scott grabbed his toothbrush, his computer, and his calendar and said, Queen, slide over.
It's going to bring her so much exposure.
Scott says living in the shelter is not easy. He's got responsibilities of his other job to get done.
Okay, so he has moved into the animal shelter. The room that Queen has been in for 400 nights is now his home.
Hey, Queen.
Because he loves this dog, cannot adopt her himself because he has other special needs dogs at home.
That he's not taking care of because he's now
because
living
he's away
at the
from
shelter.
Home. I think he's got a family.
Fixated
that's
on Queen.
He's got a family that's with
yes,
him.
Yes, Queen.
It's terrible, by the way, in animal shelters because so many people show up and they're just looking for a puppy. So automatically they ignore an adult dog. And dogs start to deteriorate once they are in a shelter for too long.
Where's the great news part?
They really start to give up hope. Yeah. The great news part is what Scott is doing to get her adopted. And you know that coverage like we're doing on K-Rock right now and coverage on TV around the country is going to get Queen adopted. She's going to get out of there.
Well, staying here, but he says the most important thing is making sure his new roomie gets adopted.
She's just been slowly declining in the shelter environment.
Scott says Queen is a loving dog. He adds she's a perfect example of what happens when dogs go unadopted.
Queen is really speaking for all long-term shelter dogs. They're kind of the forgotten ones.
But Scott adds he'll be making sure that Queen is not forgotten while he's here.
So it's not just for Queen he's doing this. He's just kind of raising the awareness of shelter dogs who are A, older, and B, who have been on the inside for a long time.
Yeah.
So adopt, don't shop. That's Scott's message. And I will keep my eyes peeled when Queen is adopted. I will pass it along. I just think it's a beautiful story and a great deal of commitment that he's living at an animal shelter to get the message out. And that's my great news.
Do you feel like Bean, of all people, should adopt the dog? The dog's name is Queen.
Yeah, I mean, you have the tattoo.
You love the Queen. You love dogs.
Linus is not great with other dogs, so I think it would be a poor fit. I mean, it's important to get that dog into a house where it's going to work out. All know what I mean?
Okay,
but she's so cute.
Stay updated because, you know, you don't want that dog to be not adopted. Right, Bean?
I feel like there was something sinister in what you just said.
I'm just saying, you know, it could be your dog, too. All right. When 6-year-old Vivian Lord wanted to play with the classic Green Army Men, you guys remember those from our club?
Sure.
She was dismayed to figure out that there are no women depicted in these sculpts. Just dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Although the U.S. Army now in 2019 has tens of thousands of women in service, the plastic pieces have remained 100% male. And so Vivian, this cute little girl, decided to do something about it. The first grader wrote to BMC Toys, that's the maker of the figures, and asked the question, why do you not make girl army men? Which I thought was a funny way to put it. My friend's mom is in the army too, she continued. So she says that's what drew her.
She's a cook, is she?
Oh, Jesus, Bean. So that's
is she a nurse?
No, she's in the she's an actual soldier.
Okay.
So that's what drew her to look for a female in the box to match the hero that she knew in real life. And the letter actually made its way to Jeff Immel, the president of the Pennsylvania-based BMC Toy Company. And he was so moved by the letter that Immel is taking action. BMC will now introduce female army figurines in 4 different poses by December 2020.
Like in dresses and stuff?
No, guys. They're soldiers. They're during combat.
Oh.
But I have to ask, are they hot?
We really can ruin anything.
The toy has been around since the 1930s. And
well, Jensen was trying to put Queen down. That's what he was getting at.
He wasn't. I was trying to help the dog.
No, you were.
You're enforcing stereotypes on women.
I'm just saying, if you can ruin my great news story, I can sure ruin yours.
That's true. There have been requests in the past for female inclusion, but now the first prototype has a female captain holding a handgun and binoculars. See?
Okay. What about the boobs?
They didn't say anything about the boobs. Reaction has been great, though. One female soldier on Twitter wrote, "I'm currently in the Army, and my husband currently is not, and now I can buy my kids toys that actually represent me when I'm away from them."
But you can't put them on the battlefield 3 days a month.
Yeah.
Wow!
See, that's how little he knows about women, that it's 3 days a month. You are the worst. Good God.
And so now, all because of this letter from a first grader, six-year-old Vivian Lord, the company has promised female Army men by Christmas of next year.
Wow.
Which is quite a societal change made by a young girl. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing job. And that is my great news.
Well, my story is about a young man that did something pretty incredible, although he kind of thought he was just doing it for a joke at first. You know how on College Game Day on ESPN, they always have people behind the anchors that are sitting there holding up signs?
Yeah, or like a huge face of their parents or something. Yeah,
absolutely. He had a sign, this gentleman named Carson King, a big poster that said, "Busch Light Supply needs replenishing." And then he scrawled his Venmo number for the whole nation to see. He was there for the broadcasts from Ames, Iowa. It was ahead of the matchup between the Iowa Hawkeyes and the Iowa State Cyclones. This was on September 14th. After a little while, one of his friends said, "Dude, who keeps texting you?" Mm-hmm. And he looked down at his phone, and after less than 30 minutes, he had $400 worth of Venmo donations.
Whoa, a lot of beer. Yeah. Did he get wasted?
That's what he was like, "Whoa, this is awesome." And then after $600, he thought, "All right, maybe there are better things I could be doing with this." So he spoke to his family and decided that after the cost of paying for a case of Busch Light, he was going to give the rest to the University of Iowa Steed Family Children's Hospital. So he was going to donate whatever wasn't, you know, that case of Busch Light to the hospital. This was on Saturday. As of that Tuesday evening, the amount he received in his Venmo account had reached more than $20,000.
Whoa, come on.
Busch Beer took notice, tweeting, "This is the best thing we've read all year. We're inspired. We're going to match your donation to this children's hospital." Then Venmo sees it, and they tweet, "Count us in for matching the donation to the hospital, too." So with the companies chipping in total, that donation was $60,000. And King says he plans to keep collecting donations until the end of the month. And Tom Moore, who's a spokesman for the University of Iowa Healthcare, said the Steed Family Children's Hospital was so grateful. Once they receive the donation, the money will be used to support patients and their families, paying for things like lodging for the family staying near the hospital, as well as gift cards for gasoline. He's been getting a ton of notes from parents that have said, "We've received treatment for our kids at that hospital in the past. This is amazing what you're doing." Anheuser-Busch also rewarded his kind deed by creating a beer can with his face on it, and they're sending him a year's worth of Busch Light in those cans.
And this is all because he held a sign up on a Saturday morning TV show.
Yeah, basically saying that he needed more beer with his Venmo card, or with his Venmo number. Mm-hmm. Guys, the total now? Keep in mind, this was September 14th.
Uh-huh.
Total now that he is going to keep going through the end of the month is over $1 million.
No. Really?
$1 million, you guys.
I got to get me a sign.
I'm saying. This Carson King thought he was being just kind of a funny dude. This will be, this will be good for some yucks. Over $1 million so far for this children's hospital in Iowa.
How much is he keeping now? I'd keep all of it at this point.
I mean, he said just the cost of the case of Bud Light. That's that's karma. That's
easy to say until the money starts rolling
that's
in.
That's right. A guy with $1 million, he could easily adopt a dog.
Right? He could make some of those booby army ladies.
Figures.
Big ones, right?
Right. All right, you guys, let's get out of this because that's my great
Monday morning here on the world famous K-Rock, and not just any Monday, the Monday after the Emmys. Here's a clip from last night, Jimmy Kimmel, Stephen Colbert together as presenters.
Well, 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 how's the old no host thing going? What a dumb idea. What a joke. So stupid. You know what has a host? Applebee's has a host. Yeah.
They have food, too.
We would have brought food.
Yeah.
And now you guys are going to starve to death.
Our friend Matt Bellany, executive editor from The Hollywood Reporter, is in, as he does the day after the Emmys. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Good morning.
How was the no-host experiment on the Emmys last night?
Pretty bad. I mean, the Oscars got away with it this past spring because it's the Oscars, and they had big names and everything. The Emmys kind of needed a host, and it was pretty evident from the beginning. I just thought it was lame.
I did feel like, following along on social media, that every time a couple with chemistry got up there, like Colbert and Kimmel, or like Phoebe and
Bill Hader,
people were like, let them host. Let them host. Right. Yeah. You know, they, like, people were really kind of wishing for it.
Yeah, people like jokes. They like to have fun when they're watching these things.
It turns out they want to laugh, right? Now, before we talk about some of the specifics, Matt, the four major networks, the broadcast networks, they all rotate who gets to air the Emmys?
Yeah, they call it the wheel. It goes from, you know, all the four.
So they don't bid for it or anything like that.
It's a package bid. They bid together.
Okay. And what's it going to get? Around 9 million, 9.5 million or something like that?
Something like that. The final ratings are not in yet, but it likely will be a historic low.
Yeah. So I'm just wondering, I mean, is there going to come a point where they're not going to want to air the Emmys and it'll end up on cable or something like that? Because what's in it for the networks? I mean, I guess promotion for your shows in front of 9 million people is it, right?
That's the key. And it comes at the time of the year right before the fall season starts. So if you noticed watching last night, it was Masked Singer, you know, ads everywhere and all the, you know, the broadcast dramas that nobody will watch. Like, those were all being advertised all night long.
How dare you, 911. I love that show.
Did you see that tsunami hitting Santa Monica? The first episode of 911 this season, a tsunami hits Santa Monica.
It can happen, and I hope Peter Krause is available to help us.
It's the fakest CGI wave I've ever seen.
Again, how dare you?
Are we looking at the networks basically advertising Netflix, HBO, and Amazon Prime for 3 hours?
Sure. I mean, that's been the criticism for years. It used to be people complained that the Emmys were a big commercial for HBO. Mm-hmm. Then Netflix and Amazon and Hulu got in the game, and it's like, wait a second, why are we devoting hours of prime time to telling people to watch these streaming services that are killing our business?
Yeah, that'll only get worse. Disney Plus, Apple.
The first 30 minutes of the show, all Amazon Prime shows won.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And the first commercial during the Emmys was for the Disney Plus streaming service. So
I noticed that, and I wondered if they paid extra to be the first commercial.
I'm
I
sure bet they did, because it's a statement. It says, okay, this is our new TV thing, and if you're a fan of TV and watching the Emmys, you're going to want to sign up for this.
Matt, there was nobody whose bracket was anywhere close to being a perfect score last night, right?
Oh, no. I mean,
nothing but upsets.
I was pretty proud of myself. I predicted Phoebe Waller-Bridge beating Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Whoa, that's a surprise.
I think in our office pool, I was probably one of the only ones that did that, but I missed almost everything else, so I'm not patting myself on the back.
Let's talk about that upset victory. I mean, people expected her to win something for Fleabag. Obviously, people who have seen it knows how brilliant it is, but the sentimental value, the sentimental vote is something that the Emmys are kind of famous for.
Yeah, and I think the fact that Julie Louis-Dreyfus came back from a cancer diagnosis, did a final season of Veep, it was hilarious as always. Mm-hmm. Nobody thought they would get completely shut out.
Yeah. So what do you think happened?
I think there's just amazing goodwill for Phoebe Waller-Bridge. We saw it this summer at Hollywood Reporter. We did a cover story on her, and the web attention on that story was unlike anything that I expected, because there's just such goodwill for the show. People who see it love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she's such a star, too. You cannot take your eyes off her. And she's beautiful, and she's hilarious, and she's smart. And, I mean,
she's accessible, I think, which is something that I think hasn't been around Hollywood for a long time.
Totally. And, one other secret. The season was 6 episodes.
Yep. Yeah, yes. That helps. Absolutely.
In this era of a million shows that you haven't caught up on,
you aren't
it
wrong.
Was 6 episodes of half-hour comedy. Mm-hmm. Who's not going to watch that?
I watched it 4 times.
That is a great point. Our friend Matt Bellany in studio with us right now, executive editor of The Hollywood Reporter, talking about the 71st Annual Emmy Awards last night. Obviously, tons of coverage at THR.com. All right, so we mentioned that the goodwill, for whatever reason, wasn't there for Veep, yet somehow Game of Thrones still wins best drama for what even the diehard Game of Thrones fans will say was not their best season.
No, it wasn't. But if you look at the people who vote for the Emmys, these are people who work in the television business. And for the past 10 years, there's nothing bigger in TV than Game of Thrones. It's the one show that everybody watches. in a landscape that is totally fractured now. So, you know, the... What happened?
Oh, that was a weird noise from Bean. I think. Did you hear it? Jess heard it, too.
I heard it.
I didn't hear anything.
I thought I burped or something.
No.
Did I just get shot? Am I okay?
I don't know. Are you? It was like a weird drone and like a balloon. Are you in heaven?
Sounded like Bean was deflating.
Yes, it sounded like a balloon pop. Yes.
Isn't that weird that I didn't even hear it?
Okay. It was you going...
as long as it wasn't me, I'm okay.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, so basically, the win last night was Game of Thrones acknowledged for changing TV and being the one show. I mean, most average TV viewers, when they watch the Emmys, they don't know what the heck these shows are.
No.
Much less having watched them. Mm-hmm. So the fact that Game of Thrones is this all-audience tentpole that everybody watches, that was the vote. That was the acknowledgement.
Yeah, and you make a good point, because I feel like we pay... you know, much closer attention than the average person in America to television, you know, because it's kind of our business to know those things and talk about those things. But when Pose is winning, when Ozark is winning,
a very English scandal, which I did see,
by the way.
I challenge you to find somebody who's watched A Very English Scandal.
Right here, buddy.
How did I know that that would be the case?
The only guy.
I saw it and I loved it, by the way. And I was, I mean, Hugh Grant in that category, I mean, he didn't have a chance anyway. There was so many great performances in that category, but it was a really, really good movie based on a true story. But like Ozark, I've never gotten to Ozark. I've never gotten to Pose.
Ozark to me is the craziest win, because Jason Bateman wins for directing of a drama series that includes Game of Thrones episodes that took like 3 months to film.
Yeah. Well, the problem there is that there were multiple Game of Thrones episodes nominated, so how do you pick amongst them? The vote splits, and all of a sudden, Jason Bateman, who is a star in addition to a director, he rises to the top.
So HBO kind of screwed themselves by nominating so many per category.
They don't choose that. And honestly, the big challenge in this day and age of peak TV is the outlet that wins the nomination race. HBO and Netflix are so locked in this battle, and HBO this year won the nomination race. They beat Netflix in total nominations. And when you have 30 nominations or whatever it was for Game of Thrones, that really helps.
Yeah.
Those bragging rights, they really do make a difference to whom? To people who are looking to shop new shows?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's within the industry, it's a big horse race. And whoever.
Okay.
I mean, it was a huge deal when Netflix tied HBO for nominations, because it signaled that Netflix had arrived. This is an outlet that didn't even produce original shows 7 or 8 years ago, and it was tying HBO, which had been the leader for 25 years.
Mm-hmm. Matt Bellany is here, executive editor of V Hollywood Reporter. We got a lot of other stuff we want to talk about. Plenty of winners we haven't got to. We got to talk about the Ben Stiller Bob Newhart sketch last night. I want to know, I can't wait to hear what you thought about the Thomas Lennon edition of the program this year. Michelle Williams had a great speech. Alex Borstein had a great speech. We'll cover it all when we return right after this on K-Rock. It's our annual Emmy recap with our friend Matt Bellany from V Hollywood Reporter. They made a couple of other changes last night besides the no host. They had no orchestra. They were trying to get creative by playing pop songs as people came to the stage. I thought that was pretty effective, didn't you, Matt?
Sure, whatever. I mean, it was fine. It's better than an orchestra. At least it felt a little more relevant.
Yeah, a little more contemporary. Yeah. And then they brought in our friend Thomas Lennon, who we are all enormous fans of, and they gave him a nearly impossible task of trying to basically ad-lib funny things as people went to the stage or as people won awards. And he had to fight with the crowd, and he had to fight with the music. Here's one example.
Big win for PWB, but to compete with Julia's Numbers, Phoebe Waller-Bridge will have to live until the 171st Emmys, which will be held on our terraformed sister planet of Mars, and shown here on Fox.
I thought a lot of his stuff was really funny, and he was getting...
The Felicity Huffman one was great. That was
other
funny.
Than the Felicity Huffman joke,
that one I just played was funny.
It's like, a tough spot. It's a tough
spot. Let me play the Felicity one for folks who didn't hear it.
The producers have asked me to give a special shout-out to any of our previous lead actress winners who are watching tonight from prison. Hopefully those 2 weeks are going to fly right by. Keep your chin up.
And I think the reason that one got so much attention is A, because it was really, really funny, but B, that's the only one he did on camera. The rest of them were voiceovers only, and it was so hard to make out what he was saying. You don't think he had the cards stacked against him, Matt?
Sure, it's a tough job, but it was just cringeworthy.
Like, it's a joke throw, yeah.
Yeah, I was just sitting there going, why? He even acknowledged it halfway through. He was like, this is bad.
He said, this sucks. Like, literally, you could hear his soul leaving his body an hour into the show.
His career as well.
Yeah. I didn't listen. Tough job. Tough gig.
Yes, very tough job. All right, let's talk about some of the other kind of surprises. I mean, we were talking about the office pools that got shattered last night.
Oh, I didn't have the Will Adam Devine do a cringeworthy dance routine on my pool either. That was a ill-advised idea all across the board.
Yeah, I actually have already put that out of my mind. I forgot that happened.
Smart.
The only reason I remember it is because they immediately showed James Corden in the audience. And the look of disgust on his face was so funny
like,
to me.
I can actually sing and dance, and was that like was awful.
There was like a Larry King impersonator.
Yes, very weird.
The guy on stilts wearing the suspenders. Yes, I couldn't understand that at all.
It was an acid dream.
Matt, I know I ask you a series of questions just like this every single year, but why does the president of the Academy come out? Why do the accountants come out? And why can't they get people to stop applauding during the goddamn in memoriam? Those three questions I ask you every year.
Yeah, and I always have the same answers, which is who the heck knows? I mean, the in memoriam thing, they actually say to the crowd in the audience at the show before it happens, please do not applaud until the very end.
Some respect.
And people ignore it. It's like, oh, celebrity I've heard of. You know, let's applaud.
Oh, they're dead. Oh.
But what happens is then Luke Perry ends up getting way more applause than Carol Channing for some reason, just because he's more recent and younger.
Yeah,
you know?
God forbid you're a TV executive and no one knows your name and you just stare at the screen.
Yes. I know. And the other two, like, who knows why? I mean, these things function for two different audiences, the people at home and the people in the room, the TV industry audience, and they want to get up there, have the accountants, have the Academy president, and have their moment, and nobody at home wants to see that.
Okay, but when the accountants have their moment, they also bring out a fourth person who's in a mask. What's it called? The mask detective?
Whatever. Mask singer.
Right.
I watched the mask detective.
No, that was, the level of promotion for the mask singer during the Emmys was pretty shocking, even for Fox.
Fox.
It was basically a giant native ad for the mask singer. I don't know. And like, that's not even really on brand for the Emmys. It's kind of this throwaway, you know, silly show.
Yeah.
If they had a really prestigious show to plug, that would be one thing, but they don't.
Right, right. All right, let's talk about one of, I thought, the greatest moments of the night, just because, you know, you can feel the vibe of the crowd. You can certainly tell the wins that they are excited about. Like when Ben Whishaw won, no one cared for that very English channel. No one cared about that. But when Jarrell Jerome won for When They See Us, the place just erupted. Now, that's a name, obviously, most people don't know.
No, and he was the star, if you can say star, of the Central Park 5 miniseries When They See Us on Netflix. There was a lot of goodwill for that coming into the show, and there were some early upsets where it didn't win. Mm-hmm. Ava DuVernay, who directed it, did not win for directing.
Which is
all
shocking,
all those wins went to Chernobyl, which is also very good, the HBO miniseries. But Jarrell Jerome was really the breakout of that. He starred in the final episode, which he was the only one of the Central Park 5 to play him, the character, as an adult and as a child. Really a breakout performance. And at the Netflix party after the show, he was the star on the dance floor. Going nuts with the entire cast. It was really nice to see.
And by the way, he won in a category that included Mahershala Ali, who I was convinced was going to win, Benicio del Toro, Hugh Grant, Jared Harris from Chernobyl, and Sam Rockwell.
And keep in mind that Benicio del Toro, during Escape at Dan Moria, did this line.
Don't tell anybody.
Just in a normal scene.
What the?
Was that me waking up this morning?
By the way, it is the craziest scene I think maybe in television history. Out of nowhere, he's just talking.
Just that voice out of nowhere.
It's not his voice. He just does it out of nowhere. And they interviewed Ben Stiller, and Ben Stiller was like, yeah, just a decision he made. We thought it was funny and great, so we kept it in. But he never explains why he did it. He becomes a monster out of nowhere. He should have won just for that line.
Wow. Yeah, give the man an Emmy.
Quite a line read.
Yeah. So Jarrell Jerome wins for lead actor in a limited series or movie, and the lead actress in a limited series or movie actress is Michelle Williams, and she took a stand. This has been her cause over the past couple of years, and I want to play a little bit of her speech.
But I want to say thank you so much to FX and to Fox 21 Studios for supporting me completely and for paying me equally, because they understood that when you put value into a person, it empowers that person to get in touch with their own inherent value, and then where do they put that value? They put it into their work. And so the next time a woman, and especially a woman of color, because she stands to make 52 cents on the dollar compared to her white male counterpart, tells you what she needs in order to do her job, listen to her.
There wasn't much politics from the stage last night. I mean, I think RuPaul plugged vote.gov. That was about it, I think. But
no, I don't think. Did anyone say Donald Trump's name?
No, I don't think so.
I heard it once. Mm-mm.
Which I think we were okay with. But Michelle Williams took her moment to, you know, to address that issue that she is, like I said, it's kind of been her thing for the last couple of years. And it went over very well in the room, as it should have, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, ever since it came out that she was paid way less than Mark Wahlberg on that movie All the Money in the World, mm-hmm. she has been a champion for this cause, and she clearly came to the stage with that in mind in advance and nailed it.
I thought it was cool, too, the Patricia Arquette speech, which dealt with transgender rights for her sister. That was kind of a great moment, too, I thought.
Absolutely. Very emotional.
Mm-hmm. And still getting work at 50, she pointed out, because a lot of people, you know,
the best
don't.
Scripts of her life.
She could have been
50.
Nominated twice. She could have been up for Escape from Dannemora as well.
She
right.
was.
I actually thought she would win for Dannemora and not for The Act, which mm-hmm. Was surprising that she didn't.
There's one more speech I want to play a clip of, and it's Alex Borstein, who we love so much on The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. By the way, is that a show that has gotten some traction now that it's had a couple of seasons of big award wins?
Oh, yeah. I mean, people thought that that was going to win comedy series.
Beat mm-hmm. it.
Yeah, and
does anyone? I mean, this is not a diss to it, but does anyone watch it?
Bean does.
I love it.
I've never seen it. I just
it's
don't.
It's phenomenal.
I watched award the first season. Few, and I couldn't get into it.
It's not for me. It's not for me, yeah. But I acknowledge why people love it. Mm-hmm. You know, Amazon does not release viewership mm-hmm. statistics, right. So we have no idea who is watching. And, you know, with Amazon, most people subscribe for the Prime
sure.
shipping.
Yeah,
and then
shipping,
you get the video service with that. So we don't even know how many people are watching video
service,
on Amazon.
Yeah.
But Emmy voters certainly are watching.
They are.
And Rachel Brosnahan is a star, too, just like Phoebe Waller-Bridge. I mean, you just look at her, and she's a star.
Oh, I think she's great.
Well, she's great. I just don't think she's Phoebe. I mean, I think we have a star for decades.
I mean, Phoebe writes and produces and, you know, is sort of the entire package and also is hilarious when she acts.
Yeah.
Let me play some of Alex's speech because she made a very difficult transition. She's talking about how she's not wearing any panties and that they were going to have to steam clean or maybe throw away the chair.
She didn't wear a bra last year and people lost their minds.
And then she transitions from that in what must be the most awkward transition ever, but she pulls it off into this story.
To my grandmother, Naji, they are immigrants. They are Holocaust survivors. My grandmother turned to a guard. She was in line to be shot into a pit, and she said, "What happens if I step out of line?" And he said, "I don't have the heart to shoot you, but somebody will." And she stepped out of line, and for that I am here, and for that my children are here. So step out of line, ladies.
I mean, you should get an Emmy for being able to tell a Holocaust story after the panty joke.
And she, genius.
She did a whole, that was like 8 seconds, and she told a whole emotional story in it.
Yeah, that is definitely a first.
It was very, very touching. All right, we're almost out of time here, Matt. What kind of coverage you have up at THR.com today?
Today, Emmys Palooza. We've got everything about the show. The ratings are about to come out. We'll see if anyone actually tuned into this thing last night. Mm-hmm. We've got all the red carpet stuff, you know, who shined on the red carpet. We didn't even talk about Billy Porter and Pose. So we got a breakdown of those outfits, and we've got analysis of the show and everything you'd want to see.
What's the coolest thing you saw at the parties?
I think Jerrell Jerome on the dance floor at Netflix. Just the craziness going on the dance floor with the When They See Us people.
All right.
Oh, they had to be happy. All right, Matt, great work as always. We'll be following you on Twitter at THR Matt Bellany. The website is THR. I don't know if there's a female equivalent to this, Allie, but the phone topic in the 8 o'clock hour is going to be, what lengths did you go to see boobs when you were a kid?
Big ones, right?
Right, maybe. Jensen made a stunning admission on the show last week.
It was really in passing. I didn't quite think it would stick out as much as it did.
Omar had his own story about the lengths he used to go to, mm-hmm. how far he had to ride his bike to see pictures of boobs. So we're going to be taking your calls coming up after 8 o'clock. First, though, speaking of phones, I understand you want us to use them right now for what's happening.
I sure do, because what do I have for you? Oh, just access for two into the K-Rock advanced screening of Joker at the Arclight Hollywood on October 1st. You guys, Joker is coming out October 4th. In theaters October 4th. You are seeing it at the Arclight on October 1st.
Don't tell anybody.
There he is. That's Joaquin Phoenix right there.
That is not Joaquin Phoenix at all, actually.
Sounds scary.
So, you want to go?
I mean, who wouldn't want to go?
Well, not only is one person going to win, but two, three, four, five winners right now. Give a call, 1-800-520-1067, and let's take callers 20 through 24, and you are going to get access for two into the K-Rock advanced screening of Joker at the Arclight Hollywood on October 1st.
Now, obviously, I haven't seen the movie yet. That's what this screening is all about, but I hope this scene is in it.
I want them to know death is coming, and there's nothing they can do about it.
I mean, Joaquin is at the top of
the
game.
He sounds great,
as far as I'm concerned.
That's not him either.
Oh, really?
Uh-uh.
Sounds like, okay,
yeah.
I'm confused.
Yeah, that was Jigsaw/Rambo done by our boy Kevin Ryder.
I can't wait. This is what I pulled this from the trailer. Mm-hmm.
You know what time it is.
Again, that is not him. That is Fred Durst from Limp Bizkit.
He sounds scary.
How about when the Joker gets confronted on the subway and he says,
not only will I not get mixed up in this thing, I'm extremely disinterested in the whole thing.
I mean, that sounds like a scene.
Dramatic.
Is that Ed Wynn?
That is Ed Wynn.
My God, what is happening?
What about? Well, there is a sex scene in Joker.
Okay.
And he's in the face makeup, right?
Oh, weird. You don't want that on your pillow.
Well, and then he looks at it.
Are you deflating again?
Are you deflating?
What is that? I don't know what you're talking about.
He's making us crazy.
Wait, you're kidding. You
don't hear
yourself?
Anything. No.
It's you doing it.
I don't know. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's coming from somewhere else in the
it's
room.
It's coming from your mouth hole.
It's coming from inside the house. It doesn't mean it's coming from my mouth hole.
You just went, That's what literally happened, Bean. What the F is going on?
I don't know. We may have to pull the tape so
yes,
I can hear it.
Yeah, we got to pull the tape. Anyway, there's a sex scene. This is Joaquin Phoenix.
Would you let me lick you everywhere?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not him either.
It's not me.
What are you talking
I'm
about?
Doing it. It's not me.
I didn't hear anything.
God, you're such a weirdo, Bean.
Am I a cuck?
You're a cuck.
That's the wrong term.
Guys, summer is over. Very similar. Very similar. It's time to start thinking about your holiday travel plans.
It is.
A new report from AAA says Thanksgiving and Christmas travelers should start searching for flights as soon as this Wednesday, September 25th. That's in order to get the best airfare prices.
It's also three quarters Christmas.
Good times. They say that date marks the beginning of the month-long period when flights are cheapest for travel in November and December. For Thanksgiving 2019, you can save some money by choosing to travel on the Monday before Thanksgiving. So that's November 25th. Or on Thanksgiving Day itself, November 28th.
That's the move.
To fly somewhere on Thanksgiving.
I've done it. It's the move.
Yeah. Flight prices tend to be higher on the Sunday before Thanksgiving. And as for Christmas, the best day to fly in terms of price and crowds is Christmas Eve, December 24th. Oh. While the worst day is the day after Christmas, December 26th.
This is good. This is good information. Thank you, Allie.
You're so welcome, Bean.
Isn't that creepy?
It is. It really is. And in studies that we really didn't need to happen, I like this one. You've likely heard about the blue light emitted by your phone and other electronic devices with screens can make it harder to fall asleep at night. Like, so much so that they started selling those little, like, blue light blocker glasses and stuff. Well, now Oxford University researchers say, yeah, it's not the light. It's just you guys being on your phone. This was an actual study. They're like, yeah, it's not the light that's making it harder for you to sleep. It's that you won't get off your phone because you're just looking at apps. Why'd you hang up, sir? They say also keeping your phone on dark mode or using a screen filter, really not helping anything either. Just you need to unplug earlier if you want to sleep better. So there you go, guys. Oxford University. All right. Let's end this. Some birthdays for you. Hasan Minhaj, Jermaine Dupri, Anthony Mackie, Bruce Springsteen, and Jason Alexander.
Good morning from the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Less than 1 hour from right now, we have your tickets for the Hella Mega Tour with Green Day, Weezer, and Fall Out Boy at Dodger Stadium on July 25th. Tickets just went on sale this past Friday, and we're giving them away all day long, all week long on the Kevin and Bean Show. And there's a bonus chance to win at KROQ.com. All right, Jensen, refresh my memory. It wasn't because we had Jerry Springer on the show recently, but somehow Jerry came up, right?
Yeah, I don't know what we... I think we were talking about the idea that when people would ask questions on Jerry Springer...
Yes.
They would stand up and say, I don't have a question, but what do you think of these? And then they would pull up their top, and Jerry Springer or a producer would throw them beads. Mm-hmm. And it was like
amazing.
It was a tradition.
Yeah, it was so popular that I brought it up because a friend of mine, if there's ever a Q&A for anything, a TV show, an insurance thing, anything, he'll literally be like, I'm doing it. And I'm like, don't do it. I don't have a question, but what do you think of these?
And that opened up the admission that I, at one time in my life, purchased the Jerry Springer Uncensored DVD.
Okay, now, before we get to that, yeah. I have to ask, mm-hmm. on the rerun, the 27 years of reruns of Jerry's show, does that still occasionally pop up, or do you think they edit that out for the replay?
Oh, I think it's still happening. Yeah.
Oh, I gotta start taping Jerry then. I gotta start taping every single day. I gotta start taping Jerry. I gotta see that because I don't know how I didn't see that.
Oh, it was my favorite part of the show.
It was pixelated, or they would cut away.
Yeah, they'd cut away and just show the audience like, yeah, booey.
And I just couldn't stand the idea that I wasn't seeing it.
All right, so was it something they advertised during Jerry Springer show? They say for Jerry Springer Uncensored, send us $14.95.
I remember so vividly when I ordered it. It was my friend John and I were roommates in college, and we were next to
you. Were like, in college?
I was in college.
Yes!
And we were we had those, like, we were both
I
elevated
you
beds.
Were in junior no.
I was trying to figure out how you're going to get it mailed to your house, because I assumed, like Allie did, that you were still living at home.
And I thought he'd have to steal his mom's credit card for this. He was in college, Bean.
No, they were elevated beds near each other, like a couple feet away, and we were watching TV, and the commercial ran, and it was like, do you want to see what you can't see on Jerry Springer? And it did a full ad, and then it said, call 1-800, and it gave the number, and then a couple seconds passed, and you just heard my phone go, pick it up and just start dialing. I was so excited.
1-800 Jensen's a dork.
I couldn't buy it quick enough.
But wait, weren't there girls at your college?
I mean, sure, they were. Yes,
but they weren't showing you anything.
Not yet.
Okay, gotcha. Understood. All right. So you order the DVD, and mm-hmm. is it just a hypercut of just one audience member after another, or is there other stuff on the disc?
Well, there's fights, and there's, you know, things that normally you'd see, and they show longer cuts, or they like stuck on the fight longer. But yeah, obviously a large part of it was that there was boobs on it.
But not even, I mean, look, you were a little older than most to be that excited over seeing boobs, but
no.
It's not in a sexy context, though.
I mean, it was kind of sexy. People
but
flashing.
What I'm saying is...
Like Mardi Gras, dude.
But can you use that, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, dear, this man. Seems personal.
Hiya, folks.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
Okay, all right. All right. All right. So that's the extraordinary lengths that Jensen went to see boobs.
Yeah, and also I was such like a goody two-shoes, really, that mm-hmm. like that was like, ooh.
He just did a weird shimmy. Yeah.
I was so like, proud of yourself.
Yeah, I was like, I'm getting the boobs.
And look at you now, all grown up. You have a wife. You
I
made
do.
A kid. I mean, it's things have gone your way, I guess.
Probably because of that DVD. It helped me grow up.
Might have been. All right, so 1-800-520-1067. We want to talk about the lengths that you went to as a young man to see boobs. Omar,
yeah.
you had a story for us?
Yeah, I was trying to remember who took me to this part of the library in junior high, mm-hmm. and they had a full collection of National Geographics.
Yeah.
Okay? Uh-huh. And he's like, dude, you gotta come here and check this out. And you open it up, and there's boobies, like
sure.
African boobies.
Yeah.
And it was the best thing ever. So, from time to time, I would tell other friends, hey, you guys, come here, check this out. You want to see a dead body? No.
I'm screaming.
And I would see African boobies, and it was like the best.
Yeah, my parents had an art book similar
really?
On
yeah.
the kitchen table yeah. or in the coffee table, and I finally looked through it one day, and I was like, oh, I should have looked through this much earlier.
Wow. Women don't understand, like, the magic of boobies mm-hmm. to like young kids, it's amazing. It's like I was just like, wow.
Yeah, it's the best.
Now
it's,
you become obsessed with seeing boobs.
Totally. That's
obsessed.
All I, until I saw my mom's boob.
then I was like turned off by boobs for like a couple of weeks.
Wow.
That did happen.
Did you have trouble? This may sound like a dumb question, but after years of going to the library for National Geographic, mm-hmm. did you have trouble the first time you saw white boobs? Was that tough for you?
He's no, like, what are these? I got over it really quick, man.
All right, let's take one call before the break. 1-800-520-1067. The extraordinary lengths you went to see boobs as a young man. Alex LaPuente, good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Hey, great.
Hey, all right. So when I was little, I was maybe about 7-8 years old. What I would do is I figured out that, you know, the Spice Channel and the Playboy Channel, when you would change it to Channel 2 instead of Channel 3, you could see all the porn going on in the background. It was a little swervy, but, you know, you could see what they were doing.
So, like, every once in a while, out of the static and distortion, you would see, like, a boob and get thrilled.
Well, it wasn't just a boob. Like, it was, like, you know, you kind of got to focus a little bit. But it was very clear that it was a couple of nurses
like
having
those
fun.
It's weird 3D paintings. You got to focus. I see a sailboat. Yeah.
You got to hey, but it was the best, man, because it was, like, the hardcore stuff.
Whoa. Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It was, but like, two nurses. I remember two nurses in particular.
Go on.
You know, with the high heels and everything, right. Just getting
down. And I need some penicillin. Did you see that one?
Guys, they were breaking each other off is what they were doing.
And he barely saw it. It was just static.
I just see Alex just sitting there like squinting at the TV going, yeah, I can kind of make it out.
Moving the antenna back and forth.
Oh, Alex, you're the best. Go Raiders, man. Thank you so much for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Your calls are next on K-Rock. Kids can get pretty imaginative when it comes to seeing naked girls. We're talking about the lengths you went to see boobs. Nizar, you hang on. And Rick and Yvonne. Oh, I can't wait to hear what Yvonne has to say. But first, let's go to Brian ahead of some Green Day. Brian's in Lake Forest, and he joins us on the Kevin Mead Show. What's up, Brian?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Good. Great. What's going on?
Awesome. So when I was in fourth grade, there were these big movie containers on our campus. And right between them and the outside fence, about 2 feet tall, we heard there were some boobs. So my friends and I went back there, and there was a spray-painted, two steps above a stick figure, set of boobs. Big dogs, little dots in between. Right, and we had no idea what they were. We're in fourth grade, but all I knew is my older brothers were telling me, like, boobs are amazing. You need to go see some chest. And so I walked out of that little space. I walked in there, baby. I walked out of there, a man. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, good Lord.
Ryan, that is fantastic. Thank you very much for the call. I mean, I guess you could draw your own boobs if you were really, really desperate, I guess. Win your tickets to see that band along with Weezer and Fall Out Boy in about a half an hour or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's the Hella Mega Tour brought to you by K-Rock. You know, we were talking about that story last week about the guy who used Google Earth to find a missing person. Remember? Mm-hmm. Found a car in a ditch. Mm-hmm. And I suggested one good use for Google Earth is to see girls in bikinis around the pool.
Stupid.
Which is kind of what we're talking about here is, you know, you really go out of your way to see them boobs. Got to see them boobs. And we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Nizar is joining us on line 3. He is in Anaheim Hills. I apologize in advance if I screwed up your name, Nizar. How are you?
Party people, it's Nizar, it's all good.
Nizar, what's happening? What's your story?
Well, 30-some years ago, growing up in Lebanon, you know, not much access to boobs. Mm-hmm. My dad used to have these whiskey glasses with ladies on them in bikinis. As he puts ice and whiskey, they'll slowly undress.
Yeah. No!
Hey, Nizar, do you remember those pens that they used to have where you would flip them and then the ink would go down and then...
Oh, totally.
Like their tops would come off? Yes.
Boobs.
So did you steal these glasses?
I would sneak in, grab the glasses, put them in the freezer, wait, you know, set my clock, 5 minutes. But yeah. And this is when Bush was in too, so... You know,
cool. When he was president?
When he was president.
No, he meant when the band was hot. He meant when the band was coming.
Yes,
got
the
it.
Band. All right.
And you said clock, right?
Yes.
Okay, clock. Okay, I just want to
make sure. Yeah, he set his clock.
Okay, very good. Very good. Understood. Thank you, Nazar. We appreciate the call. Let's go to Rick. He's up next, line four, Mission Viejo on the Kevin Bean Show. Now, Rick, it sounds to me like you're not even talking about photos or drawings. You're talking about real-life girls?
Oh, yeah. We were looking for live shots, and so me and my friend Kevin, we'd be down at the beach, Balboa Island, walk around on a seawall with squirt guns filled with ice water and look for girls that had their tops laying on their chest and looking for girls that had their tops undone, and we'd spray them with the ice water and they would get up and whoa, live show.
Seems uncool.
Seems kind of bad.
I mean, when you're
10, yeah. it was fun.
10, you get away with. 10, you're so young, it's like they don't even know.
He wasn't in college, Jensen. Like, you freaking nerd.
I mean, I was 40 the last time I did that, but thank you for the call. Appreciate it, Rick.
That right, wasn't water.
Come on, Allie. Let's go to Dean in Chino up next to the Kevin Beach Show. What's going on, man?
Hi, when my friends and I were in high school, we'd go to the mall to like where the Sanrio was, and there was like a girls' school that was close by, and where we would go to the top floor and look down and do a lot of down blouse.
Oh, Dean.
Dean, you made this gross.
You did. You made it creepy. Don't be pervert on teenage girls.
Well, he was a teenager.
He was
then.
A teenager. He's not now.
We were in high school.
Okay, all right, then I'll allow it. Thank you for the call. Edwin writes in, I used to look at the bra section of the Sears catalog, tell the kids to Google catalog, and while they're at it, have them Google Sears. Wow, Coldplay, you guys.
No.
Sounds pretty good. If you go to radio.com, which is where you should be for streaming the Kevin and Bean Show or getting the Kevin and Bean podcast, why don't you stick around a little bit and search Swings on the radio.com app, and you will find a very fun show called Swings and Misses. Jen Sturger and Cody Decker in studio with us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey,
what's going on, guys?
I was like, please don't forget the and Mrs. party. You're going to find some really weird programming.
Yeah. Nice. Good radio.
How was your weekend? How was your football viewing this weekend?
It was pretty good. I was home this weekend. Cody was in El Paso, so he was catching it in between his workouts and all of his responsibilities there. But yeah, got it all in.
Cody, why do you have to go to El Paso to work out? You know, we've got gyms here. a long way to go just to not run into anyone you know at the gym.
Oh.
Yeah, the gyms here suck. People are awful at these gyms. They leave the weights all over the place. I can't really get my workouts in. It's everybody staring at themselves in the mirror. El Paso, no one cares.
All right. 1,500 miles. Let's start with our 3-0 Los Angeles Rams. They're still the team they were last year. Feeling pretty good about the win over the Browns?
Yeah, I feel pretty good about it. I don't think that people are giving the Rams defense as much credit as they deserve, though, because that's what's really been keeping them in the game. They've really been a slow starting team as far as offense goes, despite Sean McVay having this offensive mind. I just think that the defense has really been what's been shining this whole season so far.
In general, defenses don't get enough credit, I think. In general, because people, especially the casual football fan, they just like seeing scoring. They just want to see the quarterback throw the ball a long way.
Yeah, but you got the Rams, who literally have not been scoring in the first half, and it's been putting a lot of pressure on their own defense. I'm afraid that if you go against another dynamic offense like they did last Super Bowl, if they're going to run into some troubles. They're not scoring early, and their defense is really carrying the weight of half the game.
It's like they have to wake up. They have to learn how to wake up early, just like I do to come in here in the morning.
You do show up better than they do. The Browns, when does the heat start to hit them? Like, when does a 1-2 record start to look terrible?
Because they're supposed to be great. The team this year, yeah.
I think we all bought into that hype a little early.
I knew.
Oh, yeah.
I always knew. They're Cleveland. They're not going to win.
No, I mean, their own fans were already starting to boo them after the game. And so I think the heat is already on. It's just at a simmer right now as far as it goes.
Sure.
That's a tough lot in life to be a Browns fan for life, isn't it?
I mean, it's a tough way to go. It's only second to my Clipperdom, so.
You're a Clippers fan?
Oh, Die Hard.
You're the one.
And explain the magic hat thing.
Yeah. Well, I'm an NBA fan because for a long time you couldn't even buy Clippers merchandise. That was how bad it was in
Los
Angeles.
Still have to hunt for it in the clearance bins here.
Well, we'll change that in 25 years. We'll see.
Before we get to Antonio Brown, because that was the big talking point of the weekend, let's also mention the Chargers, who, by the way, I feel like should have won that game except for falling apart and having that one bad quarter. Am I wrong?
I mean, you could say that about the last 2 weeks. It's like every single week the Chargers are stuck with no timeouts and one last drive that Phillip Rivers has to do in 45 seconds.
Right.
This is just an ongoing problem every single week.
It's so funny though, because like they had a good thing going with their run game in the first half of the game, and then it was like, oh, we wanted to switch things up because we thought we could take advantage of their secondary. And it's like, Why change something if it's working? You know, have that backup plan in place, but to totally switch the game plan in the middle of the game when it was working for you, I think that's where they messed up.
Except bolo ties. He's got to stop wearing the bolo ties, right? Let's change that
we
up.
We all do. Yeah.
I'm a big believer in his bolo tie.
No,
I think you should be wearing more bolo ties.
You cannot possibly like a bolo tie.
No, I don't, but I don't
Cody
like Phillip Rivers either.
Okay. So. All right. Keeps the bolos.
Antonio Brown has been fired from 3 teams in a month, right? Do I have that right?
Mm-hmm.
What happens now? Does anyone owe him money, or is it just, hey, let's shake hands and walk away?
Well, you hear the word guaranteed contract usually means guaranteed, but apparently, you know, every single owner has really figured out a good way to wiggle room their way out of the guaranteed money. You know, the Patriots had something in their contract, a clause basically that he can't embarrass the organization, so they were able to get him out of there right away. And I don't know, the guaranteed money's tricky.
Well, not just that, but with the guaranteed money, he had to disclose any reason that he wouldn't be able to play. And this is definitely a reason.
But he didn't know that because he's stupid.
Right.
Mm. Reading is hard.
Yeah.
But reading is hard.
The bigger problem to me, too, is like he clearly is a doofus face. But he sang the right
term. That's the technical
term.
Well,
I didn't want to be cursing here.
Really?
I went with
a garbage person. Let's
garbage
just
person
say
is fine.
Yes.
But he is saying points that I like. He's explaining that Roethlisberger and Kraft, the irony in the fact that Kraft thinks he's like the worst person in the world for an accusation, like these things do ring true to me. I just wish it wasn't from that garbage person.
Yeah, right. You're like, okay, I appreciate you pointing out the hypocrisy as far as with all of the stuff Kraft had going on off the field. But at the same time, you're like, yeah, it's coming from you.
You're the worst.
Kind of an unreliable narrator at this point.
And not to defend Bob Kraft, but comparing solicitation to two sexual assaults and intimidating a witness, those are three really, really, really bad charges.
I think his argument was just accusations.
Yeah.
I think he's saying it didn't happen. We don't know if it did, obviously, but he's saying their accusations.
Well,
same
it's a bad look when you put the woman that
text.
You're... That's, exactly. The text messages on a group text.
Very damning, yes.
Very damning.
But why
and he farted
he,
in that doctor's face.
He did fart in the doctor's face, right?
Who
why did Antonio Brown quit, though, on the Friday or the Saturday, whatever day it was, when he was due the $9 million on the Monday? He already knew he wasn't getting it, right?
He didn't quit. He got fired.
Okay.
Yeah, he got fired on his day off. It literally says, got fired on a Friday. Yeah.
Okay.
And let's be honest, regardless if there is guaranteed money or not, Kraft will keep that in the courts until he dies. He's got the money.
He will not spend one penny until he is forced at gunpoint.
100%.
Yeah.
One final note. With you guys, and Jensen actually brought this point up earlier, are we starting to see a transition from the old guard to the new guard with all of these very impressive quarterbacks in the NFL right now, with Kyle Allen, with Daniel Jones, with Mason Rudolph? I mean, this is the new class, and they look good, right?
They look really good. I watched that Giants game from beginning to end. Daniel Jones,
he's awesome.
Looked incredible.
Yeah.
Why did it have to be against my Bucks?
I mean, he had a game. I don't know if Eli Manning's ever had in a regular season.
It was unreal. He came in, he looked extraordinarily poised, and, you know, not only that, he could run.
Yeah.
That's something the Giants haven't had in a quarterback ever.
Yeah.
Well, let's be clear. Daniel Jones and Eli Manning, like, they look like that Spider-Man meme, like, where they're just pointing at each other. Because, like, you would assume that they're the same person without their helmets on, even. You're just like, oh.
They do look alike.
Well, the show starts at 10 a.m. West Coast time. You can listen to it on the radio.com app. It's called Swings and Misses. Jen and Cody, we love talking to you guys. I know you're going to be doing a lot of NFL today. I know you got baseball thoughts. And WWE SmackDown is coming to L.A. next week.
Yes. So yes.
I bet you guys are pretty jacked about that as well. Oh, radio.com, we'll 10 to 1. Please enjoy. Guys, thanks so much for coming by. We'll see you next Monday. It's a tour that's too good to be true. That's what they should have called it, but they went with Hella Mega Tour. Green Day, Weezer, and Fallout Boy, all playing on the same day at Dodger Stadium next summer. You have tickets you can win in about 5 minutes right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ. Then our friend Patrick Warburton is back on the show, you guys.
Excellent.
He and Allie are doing a live event this weekend in Oxnard that sounds super fun. So we'll talk to Patrick about that. Allie, what's happening on this Monday?
Can we just go back? You said that the Hella Mega Tour should have been called Almost Too Good to Be True Tour. Really?
Yeah, I think it was something like
really?
That. I
mean,
you
I hadn't
a big
worked,
marketing guy?
Yeah.
I mean, all the details
keep
out.
Keep your day job. And just, I don't say that lightly.
I was just spitballing, you know, but something close to that.
Oh, this tour sounds way too good to even be happening. Right, guys? Tour?
.com.
I swear to God, Bean. Oh, I love you. I just really do.
Coming in 2020.
Radio
will be spanking.
Radiohead frontman Tom York has admitted he's a hypocrite for flying around the world while campaigning as an eco-warrior.
Yeah, but it's so convenient.
It's so convenient.
Not everybody can Greta it across the sea on a boat. I had trouble coming up with the word boat.
Sure did. On one of them, they're flying monkeys.
More like the greatest boat of all time tour.com.
Oh my God. So he was on a BBC radio show and he said, quote, "The thing I've always struggled somewhat with is that if I'm campaigning on climate change, I'm someone who has to fly for my work. So boom, I'm a hypocrite." Well, yeah, because mostly you're taking private jets everywhere, right? I don't think he's really on Delta in coach, right?
Thanks for the climate change lecture, Al Gore. I'll be sure to buy a Prius.
That was part of the issue with that Google camp, too, recently.
Yeah, you had some of the biggest A-listers in the world. You had Obama, Prince Oprah, Harry, yeah. Leonardo DiCaprio, Katy Perry. They went to this Google camp eco party in Italy over the summer. 114 private jets took the guests to that resort.
And they were supposed to be coming up with ways to save the Earth.
Yes, yes. That's
I have one
what
way.
They were all chatting about. I've got a great way. Maybe put that 114 private jets down to one, and you all take a flight together. What a fun little party that would be.
And Leonardo DiCaprio, for a long time, has gotten that, like, argument also, which is like he's trying to save the world, and then people figured out his carbon print was really
high. When you have a bigger carbon footprint than the people you're lecturing, that's a really bad look.
Well, that was the case with Al Gore, too. Remember when they did that investigation on his home and found out that he's using more power than like the next 25 houses in his neighborhood?
Yeah.
You know, all combined.
And then he quickly said, no, that's not true anymore. I now have solar. And he like went through all the things that he's done to change
it. He turned off one light bulb.
Yeah, exactly. He now doesn't leave the radio on when he leaves that room.
Right,
I mean,
exactly.
It's you gotta walk the walk.
Well, it's like anything else, though. I mean, how far are you willing to go? I mean, I think there's one argument that, you can blast these people because they're taking planes. But the other argument is if everybody did a little something, you know, if billions of people did a little something, that would add up a lot.
Big help.
You know what I mean? So anything you're doing, I think, is for the cause. It's just a question of how much you expect everybody to do.
I just got solar panels at my house.
For the pool and everything?
For the pool, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a good thing.
My parents were one of the, like, first ones ever to really get into the solar thing. This was back in, like, I think the late 80s. But I'm going to tell you this about solar panels for your pool. It heats that pool real quick.
All
to the point where we're like, can someone turn off the pool? I think... I'm probably talking out of school here. I feel like even at that time, they didn't know how to save that... save the heat.
Oh, no, I think you're right. I think that's absolutely true.
So you're using these solar panels and you're not even able to save them for future use. You just had to turn them off.
Oh, wow.
Right. Yeah. Like they do now, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If I understand from the president, which is where I get all my climate change information, you can't use solar panels on cloudy days.
Right.
And if you never, ever, ever get your electricity from the wind, because one day you won't be able to watch TV.
Yeah.
Well, also cancer from the windmills.
And cancer, and they cause cancer, right.
So many bad things about the wind.
Yeah, you gotta stop using it.
Yeah, it's very
and
dangerous.
And the answer no longer blows in it?
Yeah. No, I mean, just get away from all this stuff.
Nobody?
No, I'm not giving it to you.
No?
No, I'm no selling it.
Okay.
I'm not even going to put it in the file because I don't ever want to think of it again.
Yeah, it's I was fine
so
with it
gross.
Forever.
It
was, I mean, it was a very hot reference from 1965. Yeah. I'm not. It's not that I'm discounting the lengths you went to make it happen. Yeah. I'm just not allowing it to stick.
No,
I hate your guts.
I'm not thrilled with myself.
Right.
I hate it.
Okay, I understand. How about some birthdays?
Please.
Jermaine Dupri, Hasan Minhaj, Anthony Mackie, Bruce Springsteen, and Jason Alexander. And that.
Maribel Estrada from Los Angeles, way to be. You just won two tickets to the Hella Mega Tour with Green Day, Weezer, and Fall Out Boy at Dodger Stadium. You better leave now, by the way, because the show is July 25th, 2020.
Yeah. I hope the calendar's open.
Hope you're not busy that day.
Yeah.
I got tickets all week long on the Kevin Bean Show and throughout the day, and another chance for you to win at krock.com. Patrick Warburton.
Yay!
That Welcome back,
loves
sir.
You.
I know this is super, super dumb, and forgive me if I've said this before, but you know you and I are birthday buddies, Patrick.
That's
have
right.
Have I ever mentioned that before?
Yes.
You and me and Travis Barker and Mamie Eisenhower, the big four?
Yeah. And also... Prince Charles. Charles.
Prince Charles, yeah.
Prince Charles, the stuffy one.
Whose whole life has been waiting around for his mother to die. I mean, that is what he wakes up every single day and prays for, which has got to be a weird way to live.
I know, but he does get to wake up and look at Kamala every day. That's
well,
special.
Sure. How have you been, my friend?
Why the long face?
You been all right?
Yeah, yeah.
Still Family Guying it up?
Still family guying it up. The wife and I did still a lot of traveling this last year. I wrapped up this Netflix series about a year ago and then took a year off. So we went to Africa for 3 weeks.
Ooh.
Oh. Wow.
We went over there with World Vision, and then we went on a safari. And then we went to Peru with my sister and brother-in-law. And then we went to Alaska, and we did a trip to London, and we did a trip to Ireland.
So but really, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego gig? A lot of places.
What are you running from, Patrick?
Yeah, what's going on?
No, this is the thing. Well, two of our boys have gone on semesters at sea, you know, which is an awesome program.
Yeah.
Well, they went all around the world, so, you know, and... I said, we have some catching up to do. So
you wouldn't, you didn't want them showing you up, essentially.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they've still been to Asia, and we still have not been to Asia.
Okay.
So that's next on our list. But I thought, you know, geez, you know, life's short. I could croak next week, you know.
This is a...
Let's do some travel. Let's do a little traveling.
Got dark. No, I agree. If you have the opportunity to travel, see the world. I think that is great advice. It really does change your perspective on things in America. So I think it's well worth doing it. Well, congratulations. That's super fun. The Netflix show, was that the Lemony Snicket? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that was a series.
Okay. My wife loves those so much.
Yeah.
I won't watch them. Not for me. But she loves them.
That's a very bean backhand to compliment. When you go to these other countries, do they know Seinfeld and stuff? Do they recognize you from your work?
Oh, I was in the Congo, and they would not leave me alone. I think I just look strange because I'm definitely an out-of-towner when I'm in the Congo. That's probably it. No.
Okay.
No.
Because it seems like that is the most, you know, especially with all this streaming talk now, it's like I think everyone is getting it at some point soon. So get ready for your tours to change.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Netflix is, it's so far-reaching now.
Yeah.
And, they just bought Seinfeld, so Seinfeld will be on Netflix now.
Yeah.
But with streaming and everything, everybody ends up seeing everything everywhere now.
And yeah, so. Mm-hmm. That's a show. I mean, you have so much in your career to be proud of. But I mean, that's a show that you know people will still be watching in 50 years. You know, which has got to feel great.
It's that show's got some legs. It's in perpetual syndication.
Speaking of shows, you see them all the time on TV and in the movies, but how often do you get a chance to see Patrick Warburton on stage as he is going to be this weekend, Friday and Saturday night, at the Improv in Oxnard? This is a very special event. I know you've done this in Southern California before. Letters from a Nut is what you and our own Ally McKay are going to be reading.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Uh-huh.
For folks who don't know the hilarious...
Such a quick cutoff with the clapping.
They know they got time.
Yeah, we got to get to it. Mm-hmm.
Patrick, for folks who don't know the hilarious books, tell us about Letters from Annette.
Well, Barry Marder is... speaking of Seinfeld, Barry Marder is Jerry Seinfeld's producing partner. So he his pen name's Ted L. Nancy, and he's been punking corporate America for a couple of decades now. And there's 9 best-selling books. And, you know, Jerry wrote all the... forwards on these. So for years, people speculated that Jerry was Ted L.
Yeah, I remember. I remember that controversy at the time. Yeah,
yeah. So, but Barry and Jerry produce. Yeah, Comedians and Cars Getting Coffee together. They're old producing partners and friends. And so these are his letters that we're going to be doing on stage, and they're really funny.
And he would basically write letters to corporations asking for ridiculous things or with crazy complaints, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, like you write the Coca-Cola company and go to, you know, whom it may concern. I have a product, Kayet Doke, and I just want to make sure that there's no conflict with your product, Diet Coke. They don't taste the same. People say mine tastes more like Pepsi, but I sell to construction workers who like it a lot. How much caramel are you using? You know, they'll write back 2-page legal, like,
it.
You have to cease and desist. And then he'll write back and he goes, I'm so sorry. That was dumb. I've got my 11 cans and my $700, and they're back in my room.
And it's so funny because some of these companies, obviously Diet Coke, responded a little differently with a little cease and desist kind of action.
Yes.
But some companies, like a fork company, thank you so much. Like the most earnest.
Well, sure, because that's the first
back.
Thank you they've ever gotten.
Yeah. And I went and I actually talked to the people on the front line of the fork making, and I thanked them for yeah. you. It is some of the sweetest things, but then some of the funniest things too.
Yeah,
he really got some people.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
He'll write to Holiday Inn Express, you're my favorite hotel. I'm going to be staying at your residence in such and such, Illinois. I have a request. I need to bring my own ice maker. And they'll write back and they'll go, no, we have ice on the 7th floor. And then he writes back, I know I can't leave my room. So I bring it and he goes, but I've checked and there's 3 inches of clearance in your elevator. I can get it by reception. And then he goes as far as talking about the different swaths of carpet he's got. Just in case he wrecks some of the carpet, he can match the carpet right there by reception.
So much time on his hands, but
yes.
Thank God. Some of the funniest
books.
He
produced Seinfeld and he had time to do all these things.
Patrick, so how did it go from the page to the stage? Was this your idea? Just something you just thought, oh man, this is too funny for because, you know, reading is for losers. We got to make sure everybody has access to this.
my buddy John Walkie, he works over on the Kimmel Show, and he crossed paths with Barry, and they talked about this and then approached me about doing it.
Yeah, because Barry had shows, like sold-out shows at the Geffen this, and then he had the representative reading it.
Yes.
And then how great to have Patrick Warburton be able to go to different clubs and do it on stage.
Well, I hope so.
we'll see Saturday.
It's fun.
Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, Friday and Saturday. No, it's really fun, yeah.
Who turned you down before you got to Allie? I think is the question we're all thinking.
That's my question.
This seems hurtful, but who? Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, but Allie was at the top of the heap there.
Whoa!
Patrick Warburton.
She was our first go.
Hmm. Exciting.
Sounds like Jillian Barbary couldn't do it.
How dare you?
All right, so Allie,
These boys are mean, Allie.
I can't wait to work with you Friday and Saturday at Levity Live in Oxnard. Tickets still available.
There you go.
Yes.
Do you have it set up where you read Ted's letter and then Allie plays the company, or you go back and forth?
Yes, I get to read Ted's letters and then Allie has to read the company's letters. So, you know, Allie's material is a little drier. You know, I have a little bit. I have a little easier time because the Ted letters are so stupid. Mm-hmm. You know, but the responses are great because the responses too are. You know that these people have bought a hook, line, and sinker. Sometimes they might think, "All right, we're being tested by a quality."
Like a mole.
Yes, a mole. Yeah, or. This person's on the spectrum, obviously. You know, when somebody writes the Good Cook Fork Company and says, I just love my fork. This is what I use it to eat with. I eat sprinkle fish, cantaloupe. These are the things that I certainly like it more than my spoon. Do you have any more fork designs coming up? Are there going to be more prongs?
But yeah, I assume they get them in the mail and they're like, we got one! Like, they're so excited to get mail.
It sounds great, Patrick. It really does. It sounds super, super fun.
I wonder how Allie's going to ruin it.
It's really fun. Really stupid.
Again, I am right here. Wow. I can hear you.
She can hear you.
Allie. Yeah, reading is not easy for me.
It's difficult
and sure,
for
that's the only thing I need to do.
Good luck.
Make her do some math, though. Seriously, Patrick. Make her do some math. Is this your stage debut, Allie?
I mean, outside of Broadway Cats.
Oh, I thought you meant outside of, like, college. You know what I'm saying? Working my way through college?
That was a stripper joke, and it was the worst.
Like, anyone would pay for that.
You can still get Jillian Barbie. I'll call her real quick if you want.
No, this will be my stage debut. I mean, I've only been in one movie, and it was a Paul Feig movie for a role he wrote for me.
Yeah.
So to have Patrick Warburton reach out, and my only stage debut is from Patrick Warburton, I feel like I'm winning.
That's high praise.
Yes.
I think so, too.
Thank you.
Although
name dropping there, Paul Feig.
She did it.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, Patrick was Captain Dog in the Puppy Dog Pals. You don't see him bragging, all right?
He's the voice on the Soaring Over California thing, and you don't see him talking about it ever. You did it again.
You did that sound again.
You did the noise again.
Did you not realize you did that sound?
Did you not know you did it?
I didn't hear anything.
That's so... I mean, he's making
Bean's
me feel insane.
He's gaslighting us, thinking that we're the ones making up the
He's working in helium as a side job, and he doesn't want us to know.
Strange.
That sounded a little emphysemic.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's sick.
I gotta go see a doctor. Patrick Warburton reads Letters from a Nut featuring Allie McKay, you guys.
Yes, you guys gotta go.
Yes.
Two big shows this weekend.
People.
Friday, 7:30, Saturday, 7 o'clock, improv.com. You say it's Levity Live is what it's called, right?
Yeah, it's the improv in Oxnard, California there, yeah.
Tickets are available, just $40 to see the show. It sounds so fun, 18 and up, and just go to improv.com/Oxnard to buy your tickets. Have fun, you guys, this weekend. Patrick, I don't like it when Omar is in the studio. And by the way, I have not lodged this complaint yet, Omar.
What?
I don't follow you on Instagram to see you posting photos of you with toilets.
Oh, but it's Omar with the toilet. So you get sexiness and the toilets.
Me like.
I will say, and Allie, I hope you agree with me on this. Jensen, you too.
Mm-hmm.
Man, when Omar cleans up to do one of his weddings.
Sexy as hell.
He looks great.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
He does. But I don't. But can you crop out the toilets?
No, that's the only reason I do it. Why? Because I find that funny. It's either a toilet or a urinal.
Yeah,
this dude working three parties in a weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. That
super
was insane.
Busy. DJamarcon.com, people, if you guys need a wedding DJ.
No one needed the plug.
DJMoneyBags.com, working three
DJ
weddings.
DJHotGuy.com.
Yeah. Right? All right. Hey, keep on listening. You're only about 20 minutes away from your next chance to win the Hella Mega Tour tickets with Green Day, Weezer, Fall Out Boy at Dodger Stadium. Got them for you all day today and throughout the week. Just listen at the top of every hour. Allie, you ready to bring this one home?
I am. Oh, right now?
Yes.
Okay, got it. Bean, of course, was checking out them aliens, so he didn't get a chance to see the only movie he's been talking about this year. Can't wait to see it. It's just going to be the best. I can't wait to see it. Can't wait to see it. He did not get a chance to see Downton Abbey. Is that correct, Bean?
I didn't get to go see it, but I want to so bad. It looks so good.
Well, it did really well at the box office, so much so that it came in number one. You guys, it beat out number two, which was the Brad Pitt movie, Ad Astra, and Sylvester Stallone's Rambo, The Last Blood. That came in third.
Brad Pitt is in a movie with Ed Asner?
No, what's the catch?
It's called Ed Asner. He's playing Ed
no,
Asner.
He's playing Ed Asner.
It's a biopic.
It's Ad Astra.
That is weird casting to play Ed Asner.
Again,
I see where it came from. I know that they both act and they look a little alike.
What? In what world?
In this
There's
Astra.
No catch.
There is no catch. The catch is if you see Ad Astra, it has nothing to do with Ed Asner. That's kind of the catch.
Jensen, I'm concerned that you said that you tried Downton Abbey in the first season and it wasn't for you.
No, I didn't say that.
He said
I said I liked it. I just too much TV.
Oh, okay.
No,
I
loved it. I just thought it was funny. There is a scene where they're like, because like there's not a lot to grab onto in the show if you don't know a lot about history, because it's kind of based in reality. But then at one scene, they'll be like, he's not able to come here because he's going on a big voyage at sea. And the other one will go, well, I hope he's okay. And the other one goes, I'll tell you, the Titanic is built to last or something. And you're like, you get real excited when you pick up on one thing. And
you got to stop doing that shimmy when you get excited. It's too much for people that can't
see. You know what? I'm usually not in here for that. It's very creepy.
It's a lot.
Sexy.
That's he calls that how I get the kids in the van move. That's what that is.
But I'm usually holding candy in both hands when I do it.
Now, Allie, what's your experience with Dalton?
I don't get PBS.
You do get PBS.
No, I
Everybody
don't.
Everybody gets PBS.
Are you sure?
Yes, yeah, I'm positive.
Liz, I don't... That network's always like, send money. It's the only thing that keeps us going. I'm like, stop begging.
Okay. It's true. So you just are not into period pieces. It's a show set in the 1920s in upper-class Britain. It's just not for you. Right?
Says the girl that loves Peaky Blinders, which is completely set in the same time.
I don't know what her period has to do with this.
Yeah,
I thought that was gross. Well, she's the only woman on the show. Don't... like single her out that way.
What did I say?
He said period piece when he made it about menstruation. And then he said it's gross, which is what we're trying not to say about periods, Jensen.
Yeah. I mean, don't even say it.
Now I want Omar out of the studio, and I want Jensen out of the studio. Just you and me, Allie.
Oh, good. Yeah, I don't know why I never watched it, but everyone I know watches it and loves it. My friend couldn't wait to go see the movie on Friday night. He went to the Arclight and said everyone was dressed up. Mm-hmm. It's like a little party down there.
You would be so in love with Mr. Carson, the head butler. You would be so in love with the Dowager Countess. I'm telling you, it's such a show for you.
Okay.
Although you have a pretty short attention span, so I don't know.
I really do, honestly. By the way, don't want to bring up Peaky Blinders, but I have to. The season finale was last night on BBC, so it's going to come to America, season 5, on October 4th. And I'll say this. Oh, you're in for something, guys. You're going to dig it. Guess who I found out watches Peaky Blinders
and has
been
very
quiet about it.
Yeah, I started watching.
And
it's amazing.
It's like
an amazing
show.
Now we have to deal with two.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
It's so good. It's so good.
Nobody cares.
Okay. All right. Moving along to a Taylor Swift story, Bean.
Oh.
Animal activists are taking credit for Taylor Swift's last-minute cancellation at the Melbourne Cup in Australia. So she was slated to perform two songs from her latest album, Lover, at Flemington Racecourse on November 5th. But less than 2 weeks after the performance was announced, she pulled out. She was citing scheduling problems. She had changes to her Asian promo schedule. But there was also, are you okay up there?
Yeah, what is happening? Are you rebuilding this video right now?
I mean, he started off the show on a buoy.
He just landed.
Then he's been deflating like for 3 hours.
No, here's what happened. Started on a buoy, got to a boat, then flew up like a hot air balloon, then deflated, and he just landed. That's the evolution of the show.
And he'll claim he doesn't hear any of it. One of the things was noises from your own mouth.
He's gaslighting us.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. All right, so Taylor canceled. Go on.
Yeah, but here's the thing. The cancellation came after intense backlash from animal rights activists on social media that were saying, it's the horse rating. Stop supporting animal abuse. And then all of a sudden, she's like, I've got a scheduling problem. I got to pull out.
I wish they would stop having horse racing at horse racing tracks instead of not having concert at horse racing tracks.
Agreed.
I think I'm glad that we're raising the awareness. I mean, look, there's a reason why dog racing is, greyhound racing isn't allowed in most places anymore. I think Florida's still doing it, or maybe they've even closed that down. But I think horse racing is going to go the way of elephants in the circus. I really do at some point. Because
there's
just too many horses are just dying. Yeah. It's just it's not necessary for our entertainment to watch horses die.
No.
I do wish in Taylor's statement, I wish her people had not said it was a scheduling change and instead would have said, we agree with those who have pointed out to us that horse racing is cruel. I think that would have been more impactful.
Yeah.
Oh, it absolutely would have. But yeah, she's not saying anything other than scheduling. So maybe people believe that as well.
Yeah.
And I like Taylor Swift.
Oh.
Beyond cute. She's really tall, She's not going to go for me, that's for sure.
Well, that's the only reason she wouldn't, Rodney.
Some birthdays for you. Jason,
it's not realistic. It's just not realistic.
A birthday? Or dating Taylor?
I think dating Taylor.
Okay, got it. Happy birthday to Jason Alexander, who was on Seinfeld with our friend Patrick Warburton.
Mm-hmm. Jason married Britney Spears.
Yeah, well, very different guy. But Jason had a small role. Well, Patrick Warburton was putty.
Yeah.
Well, he was the star. Yeah.
Icon.
Yeah. Come on. Bruce Springsteen, happy birthday. Jermaine Dupri, Hasan Minhaj, and Anthony Mackie.
You know, Bruce Springsteen sang Blinded by the Light.
Don't get
he did
started.
He did a cover of the Manfred Mann.
No, he did the original.
Wait, was it Manfred Mann? Did I just pull that out of my ass?
You did. That was exactly right. Yeah,
he did great things in it. Yeah.
I can't with you two in Blinded by the Light.
It is weird though that they were like wrapped up like a douche, another runner in the night. Like, why would they sing about douches?
It's gross.
Too?
Deuce. It's wrapped just, up like a deuce. It's a car
weird.
Reference.
Probably a period piece.
But he did a great cover of it for sure.
Is this thing on? It was his song. He wrote it.
So we will wrap this up. That's what's happening.
Hey, on your drive home today, why not listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, a random act of helpfulness from SoCal helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow, on an all-new show, we have so much great
stuff.
Pete, literally, that's what we've been listening to all morning, and you deny it.
I'm not even on this show. I don't know what you're talking about. We have so much great stuff to give away, including tickets to WWE SmackDown 20th anniversary. More K-Rock Advance screening tickets of Joker, also hella mega tickets. Plus, we're going to introduce you to the Untitled Goose Game, which is so fun. And this is a topic I'm really looking forward to in the 8 o'clock hour. If you had something that happened in your life, something that happened to you or something that you saw, and it was something that you cannot convince anybody is real.
Yeah, you've used your whole life to just try to get people to understand this happened.
And you're like, you don't understand. I sat on a plane next to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and they're like, no, you didn't. You're just making it up. That was my bad example, by the way. Whatever it is.
Who would believe such a tale?
Kareem clearly doesn't fly at all, ever. Why would anyone disagree?
I don't know. That was a terrible example. But you can do better. That tomorrow, and so much